mother gets up late for work.
Okay, hi everybody, welcome back. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 65, part B. Here's what I decided. I should not have split this episode up. It was way too informational. It was like so much stuff. So I should have just kept it going. Like, he went to the bathroom and then we came back like 30 minutes later and started talking. I should have just like cut it right back. It's okay when we change topics or when it's something that's just like fun to talk about. But a lot of this is like so much to keep track of. There's so many names. It helps that I'm a stoner, so I keep asking to make sure. Like, I'll teach at the sixth grade level, you know, to make sure even the ninth graders can figure it out, even the dumb ninth graders. And I'm only holding back the rest of the smart ninth graders, the Jews, if you will. We don't have to do sponsors since I said it yesterday, but just go to my website, arishafir.com, and get. I have my 2012 shirts out now, and I have spice grinders also on my website. So if you want one of those, they're both cool looking. And if you leave a note on the order, I'll totally sign the grinder. Not a t-shirt, though. Those took too much work. But I'll sign those at live shows. And that's it. The fucking shows in Montreal are good to go. We're all ready. I believe. Happy Shroomfest to all of you. Get ready for Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank episode. I think, okay, let me say when we left off. That's what I should do. I forgot. Sorry. When we left off, he was telling me all about Countrywide and Town and Country Mortgage and how they were just giving out fraudulent loans. You know what? Now that I'm doing this, I realize I don't know where we left off. So if you haven't heard that part yet, well, that's coming. They're going to give out fraudulent loans to people. They just doctor paperwork. No, they did that part, right? Wasn't that right off the bat? Well, you'll hear it soon either way. Anyway, so yeah, it's all crooked just in order to get shit passed. And then we get real deep and we start talking about fucking World Bank and conspiracy theories. There's a lot to this stuff. I'm telling you, I'm going to do three different podcasts on it. It's fucking crazy how much of a flimsy system our whole economic system. I used too many systems there. But how flimsy the whole thing is set upon. It's just... Anyway, it's sort of scary, but I have to be one of those guys. I'm like, I don't care. Just do it for me. Hopefully there'll be no revolt until I'm dead. You know, I know this is all going to go... That stuff scares me. When you start talking about how gold doesn't represent dollars anymore, so like, what does represent dollars? What do dollars represent, I mean? And you have no idea. Anyway. I don't know what I was going to do. I guess I shouldn't have gotten high before I did this. I went over to Joey Diaz's today. I had my post-op for my surgery. I had knee surgery on last Monday. It's good. I'm already like walking almost without a limp. But I went over to Joey Diaz afterwards and we got stoned and he just started playing YouTube, like music on YouTube. And he went from like that guy who, what's his name? The gay guy who sang Candle in the Wind. And then he went to the Cars. He played some black music before that. Somebody I had never heard of because it was before my time. And then some Tom Tom Club. He breaks down like where they were and stuff. I didn't know. I didn't know Tom Tom Club was just a break off of Talking Heads. And the two girls were like, fuck it, we're just gonna do our own thing. And they made a few hits. And he was talking about how he had the album. God, it's fun to fucking talk about those times with that guy. He knows everything. And then we started talking about the Beatles. And it's so fucking nuts. Do you guys know? Like, I didn't realize how humongous the Beatles were. I had no idea. They were humongous. Like, they were the biggest star. They were known all over the world. Whatever Justin Bieber is, it's like three times that. And he told me, it's like, at these last few albums, they were such artists. They all started doing better and better things. They started growing up. He said he started getting annoyed by that old Beatles shit. Because the newer Beatles shit, Revolver, and that stuff, and later, was so good. And he played me this video of when they're doing Paul McCartney's thing, Let It Be, straight into the camera. Like, he's looking straight into the camera for a while, looking at the notes, too. And then they're all just in the studio, just sort of playing. Ringo and the other one, George Harrison. And then you see, he was like, this is before the implosion, before Yoko split him up. And then you see Yoko Ono, in the fucking video. Like, John Lennon just brought this girl. He was like, hey, guys, I know we're doing a video just for the four of us. It's just us singing, but I'm going to have Yoko Ono, my girlfriend, she'll just be in here. And I'm sure all the other guys were like, wait, what? Why would you do that? Why would that be? What do you mean? No, it's just the four of us, man. Is she playing an instrument? Oh, no, she's just going to be sitting here. just sitting next to me. I'm just going to have her in it. Is she directing the video? No, none of that. I'm just going to have her in it. I'm just going to show her. Like, oh, great. That's the end of things. You can just see it. Man, good video, though. All right, so here it is, everybody. Episode 65, Part B. I thought of a name for it when I was in the car today on my way to my surgery, my post-op. What was the name? Oh. Refinancing the Loan Zone. Okay, that's it. Well, I gave it away. All right, Ari Shaffir Skeptic. I'm Ari Shaffir, by the way, if you don't know that. Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 65B. Refinancing the Loan Zone with Andrew Themelis and random walk-by guests that randomly came by the comedy store while we were doing this. Enjoy.
Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy your forgiveness? Do you think that it could? Well, I think you will find when your debt takes its toll. All the money you made will never buy back your soul.
Okay, time passed. We're back, everybody.
Nice.
Okay, you get this job at Countrywide.
Town and Country Credit.
Town and Country Credit. So I'm Countrywide's a different thing completely.
That's later on.
From them?
I was only at Town and Country Credit. So real quick. So when I was at Town and Country Credit, I realized...
You get there. Your manager's fired. The guy who hired you's fired.
Yeah, everybody's like gone. And then that office, I think, ends up closing. So I end up going to this other office.
How much they pay you?
Oh, it was like 14 or 20, 24 grand a year plus, you know, and then it was like commission, but it was like, hey, you can make $100,000 a
on
year.
Commissions.
And here's the thing. So,
if you push hard.
I like sales, yeah. Not like oh, watch, I could sell this fucking Eskimo some ice, you know, like nothing like that. Like, it's not like I want to, you know, force something on somebody like a sham wow. That doesn't seem fun. But when somebody needs something and I can explain something to them,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, and I like dealing with people. I like talking to different people. So I like that. That's why I'm going to sit in the back of the plane. You know, even if I get famous. So, this is the TMZ tour.
It's a TMZ tour.
Really, they're just blasting TMZ from this bus. You're basically just on a bus to watch. You drove 3,000 miles to watch TMZ on the bus.
They are watching the fucking
street. That is hilarious.
But it goes with things. They say on your right, the House of Blues. Then they have TMZ on the screens. That's what it is?
Yeah, and that jackass is insane shit. Now, let me ask you. And they just show clips from TMZ. Yeah. You know what TMZ stands for?
30 Mile Zone.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was 3 Mile Zone, but sure.
Yeah.
So anyways, so I realize that it's a little strange, you know, like everybody's getting fired. So, okay.
But this whole time you're just doing your loans.
I haven't started yet. I'm like just starting here.
Okay.
So I start in this Burlington office, and your goal during the day, you get leads. So this is how it works. You get leads.
Yeah.
Because we were a shitty company, we were basically cold calling people. You were under the impression, as a loan officer, myself,
that they were leads.
That these people were,
had expressed interest in getting a loan?
Had expressed interest at one time or another. Now,
okay,
they could have given their phone number at Radio Shack, and that would somehow end up in this pile of shit leads that my company paid cheap money for. I say my company. I could never call it that. I was only there like 6 months.
Town and Country paid for.
Town and Country paid for.
And this is just like them stealing your email address to use for spam. People are just like, yeah, what do you want? How much do you give me for?
And then I was supposed to be the guy to call.
Right.
Now, I knew that this profession existed without this terrible aspect of cold calling. Now, your goal was to get as many applications as you could. An application meant that I called you and I said, and this is what I would say. Hi, my name is Andrew. I'm calling from Town and Country Credit. I understand that at one time or another you were looking into information regarding your home finances.
Right.
Is there anything that you need help with today? Is there anything I could provide for you today? That's just to start the conversation.
So now, weren't most of them right there going, what? No, I don't.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, here's why I will forever cherish my time at this job. Very quickly,
I
realized...
Did you guys call it TNC?
Huh?
Did you guys call it TNC?
I don't remember. I always say we. Okay. There was only like four or five of us in the office for 6 months. At one point, they had fired everybody. My manager quit.
Who was doing the firing?
Just the uppers. Like, shit was just getting closed down, man. It was the beginning of the end.
Did they just get phone calls and people would pack their desk and leave?
Yeah. There would actually be people who would just... A lot of people quit because... Here's the thing.
Because it was super depressing there and everyone's getting fired. Randomly, everything fine. The phone rang. Hello? Oh, okay. Yes, sir.
What happened was, here's what happened. When I came in, I had no idea what had just happened before me. You know, it was like a Twilight Zone episode. Yeah. I woke up, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's how they all start. I woke up and the town was empty, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
You all start like that. You just have to figure it out as you go.
Yeah. Oh, the best. So.
28 days later, it was like that.
Yeah. Nothing touches Rod Serling. So. Like, when I first got, within the first month of me being there.
Yeah.
Like, five people quit.
Really?
I remember this one girl, and, like, right away...
In an office of under 10.
There was... There was 10.
Okay. Was 10 to start, yeah.
It was funny, like, talk about an office, like, you know, just, like, cliche office shit. When I got into the office, like, day one, like, the kid who was talking to me about what went on there...
What?
I just thought of a kid I haven't thought of in, Jesus Christ, oh, yeah, 10 years or whatever it's been. Not 10, 8. But there was, right when I came in, I had this kid, Will.
Yeah.
And I had to talk to this kid, Will, and he was going to, like, show me the ropes. And he's talking 90 miles an hour. And I come to find out, me, because I had never been around cocaine, still have never really been around cocaine.
Coke the whole time.
I started to put together, this kid was on Adderall, cocaine. In fact, this kid left. We didn't know when he left. He got arrested in Connecticut for coke. So he was, like, just 90 miles a minute, kind of like I am now, 90 miles a minute just talking about... you know, what was going on in the office. And you make all this office. See, I got, watch this. I'm going to call this guy right here. Going to close this loan. He's like, pick up the phone. He'd be like, hey, he's like, so-and-so. He's like, you know, and he put the phone down like, you know, oh, he's like, yeah, watch this. He's like, so, he's like, I took care of you last month. He's like, you got any, he's like, your daughter still need that loan? Like, you know, just trying to work. He had nobody. Come to find out, it was like Robert Evans, you know, when he'd like fake pick up the phone.
Yeah, he just wasn't talking.
He was, but this like Taiwanese guy on the other and didn't give a shit. You know, he was on the golf course.
Things.
Yeah, it was a mumbo jumbo conversation.
Nice to meet you again. And they're just like, what? Who are you? Why are you calling?
It was terrible.
Oh my God. So, and that way he would convince you what he was doing?
No. This was like day one of me sitting down and like him going through the whole thing.
And just lying about what the job is.
Not lying, but like he had actually closed this loan. He had nothing because literally when I showed up, it was like something had happened like that month or the month after. Oh, come to find out, they weren't allowed to, because the manager was fired, they weren't allowed to doctor loan documents. Because prior to me getting there...
They couldn't doctor loan documents anymore. How are you supposed to make a living? If you can't commit fraud.
No joke, man. So, guys before me, like the manager before me, like the guy who hired me in that office, that guy... So, I go in, get hired. Yeah. That guy in that office, that guy got fired. So, then when I called back, the regional manager was there. He's like, hey, I actually had to let him go. He's not with us anymore. He's like, are you still interested in a job? You know, like it was shit was happening just as I got hired.
Well, I'm here, bro.
I was like going to be the fresh, honest face of Town
company?
And Country Credit. That's what they thought. That's what this regional manager thought he could do that he couldn't do.
But wait, who started the doing these bad things? Who started,
dude? It's like
the higher ups.
It's like saying who started.
Who got them the leads? Who was getting these people the nothing leads? I mean, they someone must have known.
The problem was...
What level?
Here's the thing. At that point in time, you could pick up the phone. You could pick up the dictionary.
Yeah.
And guys were doing this as bets. Just like the boiler room. They'd throw down $200 and say, if you can call one of 10 numbers in the phone book and get this guy to refinance. Because if that guy actually legitimately has 6.5% interest rate,
yeah.
Okay, and you call up and you're like, I can give you 5.5%. and you knew you could give him 5.5 because it didn't matter what he qualified him for. You could ensure through Adobe Photoshop or a photocopy machine and scissors. I'm not kidding.
Get him the 5.5.
You could get him that 5.5.
And the reason that the
so if you called up 10 people in the phone book, here's
wait,
the
but
thing.
The reason that the banks wouldn't want them to pay 5.5 is because they're a higher risk than 5.5.
That's
they're
if you're doing things legitimately.
Risk. Okay.
I was explaining lending. This is not lending.
Right.
Now we're in the boiler room.
Right.
Things have changed.
Okay.
You know? See, back in the day, if you wanted to borrow money, you'd go into the bank. Your wife would bake a pie. You'd shake hands with the bank president. And that president would make a decision based on your numbers, but also based on
who you are.
He knew you.
Oh.
And so when you borrowed money, it was personal.
Shy people.
If you borrowed money, it was personal. You would not just go into. You would actually feel bad because in that town, that small community, you had honor, you had dignity. Now you call some guy in, like, you know, Texas, really. You know, it's like, yeah, it's some guy over the phone. I close loans for people that I never met.
Right.
So when as I started to say, I would go into this office and my number one goal would be what I had to do was to get an application. An application meant getting all of this person's information,
yeah,
what they do for work, what goals they would like to achieve in this loan, and also their social security number. Okay?
You would get it?
I would get the social security numbers.
Jeez.
Isn't that insane? My dad always say, I just still can't believe they give the social.
Just these
phone
people that cold called.
Yeah, that had cold call. Now, here's the thing. I didn't know.
Whenever they're like, I can't believe some person fell for this scam. You're like, how can you not?
Yeah.
They wouldn't keep doing it. People didn't fall for them all the time.
When I came in, it's so funny. It's just like Boiler Room. When the kid comes in, he doesn't know that there's
the fix is on. Yeah.
When I went in, when I was calling these people, I had no idea that we had a worse product. I didn't know what the other bank's interest rates were. In fact, we were taught. Day one.
By whom?
Okay, so my manager, this chick, she, like, you know.
There's your first problem.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dude, totally. She would, like, she gave me a rundown of, like, how things worked. We had to watch these videos.
Yeah.
From from some guy filmed in Burbank, you know, 5 years prior. The thing that they would drive through your head was interest rate is not everything. Now, if that's your selling point, that must mean what? They probably don't have the best interest rate.
Oh, right.
Out there, this company. They're giving a higher interest rate
but,
so that they can get more money. Because the loan's worth more to Town and Country.
I don't understand this.
If Town and Country gets a loan from someone.
Yeah.
Okay, acquires a loan.
Money from somewhere. From who?
A borrower.
Okay, a person.
Somebody wants to refinance or buy a house. If they get a loan at a higher interest rate.
If who gets a loan? The borrower? The person gets a loan?
If Town and Country Credit
gives them a higher interest rate loan.
They then take that. What they do is they take your loan and.
Oh, then they get a better percentage from the bank?
What happens is they take your loan and they take 10,000 other people's loans who are very similar to yours.
Yeah.
Then what they say to somebody, a bank in France or somewhere else,
yeah,
they say, we're going to sell you all these loans. So what Town and Country Credit does is they basically themselves act as a broker. They buy, they write these bad loans, okay, under false pretenses. The reason the liability is not on them is because then they turn to some foreign bank or some bigger bank and say, hey, we've got all these loans. The bigger bank that bought them had no idea that it
but
was
is the bigger bank like, well, what rate you got? And when they're like, oh, we got 10%. You're like,
they get 10%. So they're like, we'll take
the
10%.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And they're all
even
qualified?
Though that, even though these people probably will only own, some of these people would only own their home for 3 weeks, it was worth it to them. Everybody knew what was going on. That's why we're fucked right now.
Everybody, like the banks knew.
Everybody, at every level, there was somebody who understood what was going on.
Okay, so now here's the question. When they knew that these weren't matching up, like if you keep giving loans to people who can't afford
it, it's too late and it didn't matter.
Once the people that did know knew, at that point were they either just saying, well, I just want to cash in, or were they saying, I don't quite understand it, but it should work out?
It was too late.
Too late to do what?
For the bigger banks to sell the loans.
But they kept doing it, though.
Because you got to understand, it's everything's
trying
like,
for more of those loans.
There's actually,
it wasn't like it happened for 2 months and stopped.
Yeah, but
they kept going.
Because, you know, you might have 15% default, but you've still got a lot of other people.
Sure, yeah.
But the problem is if 15% default this year, next year it's worse. The year after that it's worse. And the loans got worse. So they've got people running numbers.
What do you mean
saying,
the loans got worse?
Meaning
they gave them worse
people
loans.
Were writing worse loans.
Right.
So my job was to get an application. I would get the application, and I knew that like something was fishy. I knew that there was nothing going on. A guy in my office was mentioned.
Who would you get the application from?
These leads. I would just sit at a desk all day and call leads. Yeah.
And then one of them would be like,
and let me just tell you, I talked to some of the best people I've ever spoken in my life, and I wouldn't even sell them shit. At that point, it was just like, start a conversation. One thing, I came in like day one just being like, you know, like liking to talk, you know, not being like a dick. And everybody in the office, like the four other people that were there at the time, the manager was like, you know, take a note from the new kid, because I would just strike up conversations with people. Oh, you're right. From Andover, blah, 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 blah. You know, and you just start talking. And that was it. And then I get the application. Then they
would then apply.
Would apply for a loan.
And they would send it in to you.
Because they'd be like, well, you know, here's what would happen. My goal was to say to them that your home is worth, let's say, $100,000. You only owe $50,000. Your loan is with Wells Fargo. You know, we want to get your loan.
Yeah.
So I would call them, and I would say, and the idea would be for me to say, listen, you owe $50,000 on your house at 5.5%. Okay.
Okay.
But you have $10,000 in credit card debt.
Okay.
Why don't I take that credit card debt,
roll it
into your house, and it'll give you an extra $5,000 just so you've got some savings, some cushion.
So now you owe $60,000.
But now, or 15 if I give you the 5, so 65.
Okay.
So now.
Oh, I thought you just give me the 5. You don't just give me the 5.
No. Nobody's getting shit.
Okay.
You pay for the 5. In fact, you pay for that 5 for 30 years. That's the point. It's a 30-year loan.
They just give you more of a loan.
You just stretch it out, yeah. Now, here's the thing.
And they sell under the idea, like, well, it's spending money, so you won't be, like, broke. And you're like, no, you're just giving me more loan.
Yeah, people. Yeah,
$200,000.
They weren't even thinking it was $5,000. It's like, well, listen, your loans.
Old man, I love the old man boobs.
Your line. Let's say your payments $1,000 a month,
yeah.
And I say, but if I can give you $5,000 cash today, and your payment's only gonna be like $1,010 over 30 years. Oh, you go, all right, I'll take the $5,000 now. Yeah, for an extra $10 a month. Well, think about how grand of that scale that argument can work.
Yeah.
It just gets, it never ends. It's like, oh, well, it's just a little this, and then the shit adds up.
I was looking for a house for a little while, right when the crash started a little bit. It had already gone on for like a year or two.
Yeah.
So the homes were like way cheaper out here. The condos were way cheaper. And I was doing better, I think, commercially or something. So I was just looking, you know, and I finally, my friend explained to me the difference. Between, like, he was like, over the 30 years, look at the difference between a 4.25% loan and a 4.27% loan. And you're like, it's like $50,000.
When you amortize out, every $100,000 you borrow on a 30-year loan, you pay $300,000 back.
Wow. God, that's a lot. So, of course.
Time is the enemy. Interest rate's the enemy, but time is also the enemy. A 5% loan over 30 years, you pay back the same amount as you would on a 30%
loan
over 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
30% over 5 years. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, who wants a 30-year loan?
They got up to 50 by the time I was out.
50-year loans?
Yep.
What 50-year
higher
loans?
Interest rate. The shorter the term, the lower the interest rate.
Because they're like, we don't get anything, so.
So it's like, we'll lower the interest rate because you're paying more. You're paying quicker.
Right. Because also, it's like, if you loan out $100,000, like, we don't want to get it back in 30 years. We need it right now. In 30 years, it won't be worth as much.
I mean, no, they love that. Because, again, everybody's
like
passing the buck.
Because then they're investing in the
10% loan. Think about what investing
loan
in the market is. You never, these people who lend out this money, they're never holding on to it. Every dollar is constantly just getting traded in this false, fake, collapsible economy. It's a circle. The bank go to this, based on the 10-year T-bill that then affects the this, and then they lend out on that. It's a gaff. It's good.
Gaff?
A gaff, yeah. It's a joke. It's eventually going to, you know.
Is that what open micers now call jokes?
A gaff?
Yeah.
No. A gaff is just like
I know what it is. I've never heard someone use the term.
I think my dad used that term.
Okay.
But usually to explain a scam. You know, but my goal was to say to him, even though you've got 5.5% interest rate right now,
yeah,
listen, it's going to go to 6.25, but you're going to get rid of these credit cards that are at 15%.
Oh.
You know, that's your argument. All these selling points.
To average out the two.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense.
Yeah, but it doesn't if you're throwing, like, it's like throwing a rocket amount. If you're throwing 10 grand at 300 grand, you know, you're paying 10 grand on at 17%, you're paying 300 at 5.
Oh, right.
Mixing the two doesn't add up at all.
Well, you'd have to lower. It's like when somebody has, like, a half seat, like when somebody gets traded, like early on the season.
Yep.
And you're like, well, your Colorado Rockies stats were this for 12 games, but your LA Dodgers stats
are
this for 130 games.
That's dead on.
But then the average is like you hit 270 there, but you hit 330 there, but your overall average is 329 because you only played 12 games over in Colorado.
That is 100%
and vice versa,
accurate.
I guess.
Yep.
Okay.
So I knew something was going on here, whatever. I didn't want to be around here anymore. I ended up I found out there's this other company, Countrywide,
yeah.
that...
Wait, hold on. So people would write these applications.
I when I was with Town Country, I didn't close one. I did not close... Oh, I closed two loans, actually.
Yeah.
And I saved these two guys. These guys... The only reason they got the loans was it was high risk to the bank, but they needed it just because these guys were in, like, really, really difficult trouble.
Yeah.
And it was 1 month. It was... Each loan was for about $500,000. And I think I made like $1,500. And both of those guys, like, you know.
And were you aware of what they expected of you? Like to do more than that?
No, because these were two honest loans. There was nothing wrong with what I gave
these
loans.
Were they aware that you weren't making as many loans as other people were in the office?
When I was in that office, a total for 6 months, maybe a total of like 8 loans got closed. It was pathetic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, this office wasn't closing anything.
Oh, it was like a good Catholic church. Like, no, we have never
exactly
ripped.
Right.
We don't molest kids. It's
so,
just the other ones.
So when my manager quit that company,
yeah,
I was trying to get over to
Why
Countrywide.
Did they quit the company?
She left because she was from Minnesota. She wanted to get married.
Yeah.
She didn't like being there. But the point was that over there was when she left, we were literally in this office for like 3 weeks. Like me and my buddy, we started. We would fuck around. They had the scales with like the stamps.com
uh-huh.
machines that everybody's using.
Fucking stamps.com, they're the worst. They have no label makers for compatibility with Macs.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you that when they tell you what to fucking buy.
I didn't know that.
You get all this shit.
Aren't they an advertiser?
Not mine. And
not
I
on
mine?
I thought I heard it on yours. Oh, maybe that's Marin.
Maybe.
And Bill.
Yeah. Well, whatever. But the point
whatever.
Is
yeah, fuck stamps.com. Yeah.
It's annoying as fuck. I had all these things set up ready to go. I was like, wait, I can't use... I have two label makers. Either one of them I can't use. Like, oh, no. You just have to print it up and then cut the...
That's hilarious.
Cut the things out and then tape them. I'm like, that takes super long.
Yeah, that's not what you signed up for. Actually, it is what you signed
up
for.
They said, well, something's in the pipeline. I'm like, what does that mean?
They're pipeline?
Like,
just
yeah.
hire,
I was like,
hire a fucking kid out of college to go reprogram
them. Like,
it's software.
I'm letting you know,
it's software.
I'm not the only guy who uses a Mac. I'm not that weird.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us.
Yeah.
You should prepare for this.
Dude, it's like
exactly.
The fact that they don't have like an iPhone app for that shit. I don't even know. Whatever.
Yeah.
But anyways, so what we would do is we would take the scales in the office that were the company scales, because there was nobody there. We would fill boxes with like office supplies and just like ship them to like friends, like just mail free shit for free for no reason. Point is nothing was going on at the end of these days. He was smoking butts in the office. There was three of us. It was terrible.
So you're making your 24 base, and that's pretty much it.
I was making my $1,400 or whatever it was.
How much did you make on those two loans?
I think I made like $1,000.
Oh, not bad for a close, but
yeah, but with promise of $100,000, you're looking to make money. So that office. So I ended up getting a job at Countrywide
like
Home Loans.
A month.
This is where the adventure starts. I started Countrywide Home Loans. I was there from April of 2006.
Yeah.
April of 2006 till the company closed down. I was like one of the last people they laid off when the company shut down. The
company just shut.
Pretty much. They shut down that portion of the lending division. So Countrywide was, you know, definitely a little more strict than Ameriquest. I can't say that things weren't going on because they went on everywhere, like you said, about the Catholic Church. I mean, people are always going to fuck with shit to make extra money.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a good company. Countrywide, like, we serviced our own loans.
I think church wasn't about the money as much as the sweet, sweet boy act.
Right. I know you make that point all the time. It's just so true. How do you
stay in Catholic now? How do you still
just,
there?
Just call it something else. You don't need them. It's like I can still play baseball.
You're Christian. Is what you are.
Yeah, you're Christian. That's it.
Just don't go. It's not okay. And it's not like people are like, oh, what about like Penn State? I'm like, yeah. Here's what happened at Penn State. They found out who done it.
Just
they fired them. They found out everyone who covered up for them, and they fired all of them too.
If
the
they
fucking
just,
Catholic Church covers up for people.
Oh, dude, and
But it's not
all the
like
all
years.
The paternal apologists. I honestly got it. I just want to sucker punch them in the face. They deserve a sucker punch.
Yeah,
you shouldn't even be able to see it coming. That fucking guy knew. People say, "Oh, he's an old man." The guy was like in the Navy. What do you think? you think he didn't know what was going on?
Yeah. Joe Paterno's a smart guy. He got it. Especially
he
25
knew.
Years ago.
Really? He hung out. He was in a locker room. The jokes that they told.
That guy told him, and he was like,
"The jokes that they told in the
we'll
locker
tell
room."
Another person.
What do you think? It's a clean. Because it's a university?
I wonder how many child abuses there are like around.
Much?
No, it's all right. I wonder how many child abuses there are just around, like in like your normal life. Just where people like are semi-aware of them. What, inside the House of Blues?
At least one of them is, yeah. Just getting her picture.
Oh, nice.
Tourists. Would you like to see some comedy, miss? You use that a lot, huh? You want to go see some comedy?
I've never done that. Never. A lot of door guys do, but no.
I think about how it's sometimes like, hey, do you want to hang out? I've got a show if you want to come by. But that just seems lame.
Cheezer does it. And it is lame, but he fucks off that once in a while.
Cheezer?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He's single.
Hey, you guys like comedy? Hey, you guys like comedy? He would always do that in the front porch. It was so embarrassing. But then he'd talk to them. Anyway.
See? That chick's hot.
So just like the Catholic Church. Yeah, that's the one with the long miniskirt.
It's my wheelhouse. Brunette.
That's your wheelhouse? No, you can't get that. Which one? The one on the left, maybe.
On the left.
Yeah,
the right's not my
wheelhouse.
The
one in front. Yeah. Yeah, the one.
The one on the front's hotter. What are you talking about?
What?
Then the other one? The other one looks like, oh, dude, see, that's what you're looking at. That girl.
I can't see her face from this far away.
I'm looking at the whole thing.
It's
I don't
across
see any.
Six lanes
style.
And some. Oh, and she just gets into a fucking Mercedes. Fuck you,
did
girls.
Really?
You rich
motherfuckers.
That might be a Hyundai, actually.
No, that's a Mercedes.
Mercedes, okay.
Yeah, totally.
So just like the Catholic Church, where everyone knew.
So the point is, so I get to Countrywide, and I did, like, really well there. Like,
what'd you do there? Same stuff.
Same stuff, but, like, we had good interest rates. They weren't, like, the 100% best interest rates. The best way to get a loan is to go to a credit union. Now, I have to say this. If you have the opportunity to join a credit union over any bank, Bank of America, all of them.
Yeah.
Do yourself and your country a favor and join a credit union.
Why?
They operate under, it's kind of like this like loop, it's kind of a loophole, but it's a good loophole where they're allowed to, they lend out money actually at a better interest rate. They are allowed to maintain a little bit more of a distance from the fucked up banking system, and that's just the most basic way I can say
do
that.
Do they have just regular banking? You can keep money in there at an interest rate?
Regular, yeah. Like, credit unions are just, like, safe banks with good interest rates. So we had pretty good interest rates. I had, like, customers that even after I left, after Countrywide got shut down, and even when I first moved out here, they would, like, occasionally I would, like, you know, talk to a borrower who I had, you know, helped out. And they're like, hey, you still doing loans? You know, can you, you know, because you build a relationship with these people. And I would just flip them off to, like, my old boss and, like, you know, and I would just, you know.
Because they call you afterwards on your cell phone?
Yeah, they'd still, like, my cell phone number or email or something.
Yeah,
you pass that
was cool. You mean you're bragging about not being an asshole?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'm saying. Because honestly, and I'm overcorrecting the stigma. Just because it's, like, the thing that you got to understand is people. If you walk into a shitty situation, like if I didn't take advantage of you and I told you that it was a bad loan, like I remember having to give somebody a loan that I knew was a bad loan, but they qualified for it.
Right.
They qualified for the loan.
So
I was
once
like,
they qualified, it's out of your hands, right?
Yeah. Like I had one guy call me a racist because I was like, dude, you definitely shouldn't take this loan. And he was like, he was this Asian guy. He started calling me this Vietnamese guy. And he just called me like a racist, just like up and
fucking
down.
Chinese, man.
You know? And he just like, yeah, and it's like, dude, you just shouldn't take this loan.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just not good for you. You qualify, but you don't make enough. It'll ruin your life. Side boob.
What's your ratio over mom to daughter at this point in your life?
What do you mean ratio over mom and daughter?
Who's hotter, the mom or the daughter, when you usually see them walking? Not necessarily there.
Usually, almost always daughter. If
I'm daughter.
The mother is above 35 and the daughter is above 15.
Here's the thing. Sometimes the mom's just hotter.
Sometimes
it has nothing
true.
To do with
absolutely.
Age.
Absolutely. Sometimes. Just ratio.
Yeah.
Just ratio.
It
not
is.
Like absolutely 100% either way. Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I actually did pretty well. Like, when I started there, I was doing, like, internet leads, which meant that people would go online. So I wasn't dealing with the shitty leads. I had current countrywide borrowers. People who had countrywide, they would get their statement, and they would call in asking for better loans. Some people wanted to borrow $10,000.
Now, I deal with some people like, hey, I'm trying to get something done here. I'm opening a business, so I need a loan.
Dude, yeah.
And that's why I'm getting this right now.
Well, technically, we weren't supposed to lend it. Like, you weren't supposed to lend for, like, that was a gray area. But, yeah, stuff like that.
Let's say at my daughter's wedding.
I got a daughter's wedding.
Yeah, sure.
I finance people.
Those seem right. Those seem like they should get loans here or there.
You could take – now, what you could do is you could take out a second mortgage. A second mortgage meant that, let's say I have one loan at $50,000 on a $100,000 home.
Yeah.
I got 5.5%. I want to take out a second mortgage for $10,000, but I know I'm going to pay this $10,000 off in like a year.
So take a higher interest rate.
So they'll take 7.5% on a 10-year loan on a second mortgage. Now, as an account executive, I would make less money because my pay was based on, you know,
what
was based on loan amount.
Okay.
Because I got a percentage
But you get paid up front.
No, I got after the loan was closed, I would get paid.
After it was closed, though, but you wouldn't have to get paid every time they made a payment or anything. You don't.
No, never. No. I was just completely out of the picture at that point.
Dude, fucking yellow and pink hair like that, I love that shit.
I don't.
Really?
Yeah, because I just look at that and I'm like, their hair just probably smells like gross chemicals.
No, you're wrong.
Totally.
That
girl's got a giant zit I can see from the second
That's
floor
not
of that
zit.
Bus.
She got a piercing. That's a piercing.
That was a little southeast for a piercing. A little off the. She's cool because she didn't look at you. She's got a
and
piercing.
She has yellow hair.
Oh, that makes her cool.
She's a greaser.
Come on.
Although
you can't judge
the
books.
She is on a TMZ bus.
Just like not all hot girls are, you know, idiots. You know? Not all girls who look hip are hip. Sometimes they're just wearing the costume.
She didn't look hip. She looked like a greaser girl. Like she'd be at a Social D concert.
No, greaser girls
fucking
were
alley.
Like, you know, they look like.
In an alley?
In an alley?
I have not. Have you ever fucked near or behind a dumpster?
Not in an alley. No, never.
No,
never
me
near
neither.
A dumpster.
I can't imagine. Even blowjobs count, but no, nothing.
No, never.
I can't imagine.
No, never.
I mean, I would, but I can't imagine having the gall to like start the
I
move
just,
right
yeah,
there.
Like, I just, I, you know, and I think it's all going to be the right situation.
Yeah.
You know, like Like, I don't even want a bang girl that wants to fuck in an alley. The comic or asshole in me is just like, just kicks in. It's like, really? Fuck her.
This is what you're doing?
Yeah, it's just like, God, fuck you. And I'm not, you know? And, you know, whatever. Homo. Call it what you want. But I just, I'd rather just
okay,
not
so
have
now
to think about that.
When you realized, at some point you realized why this industry was fucked.
So you knew what was going on. So the worst offenders of fraudulent loans and bad loans. Now I'm going to throw something else out there. There were actually people who didn't work for a countrywide. There were people who were actually mortgage brokers. Now, mortgage broker, you could work out of your home.
Okay.
And you would have, you know.
Same shit. Who cares?
Right.
Just cold calling people.
No. But brokers, those guys didn't have a countrywide that was paying their insurance and that was paying them like a salary and the desk and the leads.
Oh, so they're just
so
going
these guys could make. So they would make. They could make. 2.5% of the value of the loan.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Why?
I knew a guy who was making. There were loan. There were
broke. They didn't have to pay the company.
They didn't have to pay the company. Like whatever would have gone to them. Also, closing costs. Closing costs.
It's like when you're a barber and you work out of your house on off days, and then you don't have to pay.
You don't have to pay the
salon.
House. Exactly. Yep. You're the house. Some of these guys are making $50,000 a month.
At home because they don't have those costs. You tip them only.
Don't tip at an open bar because they automatically make 27% tips.
An open bar?
Open bars.
What's open bar?
Like if you go to a wedding and it's an open bar.
Right. Don't tip because they automatically make
27%. They make 27%,
I heard. My friend Avi Schneider, different Avi, he married.
Did you know how many open bar bartenders right now are like, I don't fucking make that.
Fuck
you asshole. Don't tell people that. You know? It's only 26. Really? Well, why don't you make it a little stiffer there, buddy? All right,
26%
it's not
your. And then I'll tell
you're not
anybody.
Paying for the booze. Don't you hate it when those assholes are cheap? You know, it's like the guy at Subway.
Like,
dude,
hey,
the cameras aren't on.
Put
fucking
it
him
in.
Get me some lettuce.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
My friend I got married to like a really rich girl, and I remember him was the first one, but I've seen it other times too, where they pay the valet guys or whatever enough. They're like, I'm sorry, we're not allowed to take tips.
Yeah.
And I remember asking like, Nah, go ahead, it's okay. It's
what
$2
a beautiful
take.
Thing.
And he goes, trust me. It ain't worth it. This guy's paying us a lot.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you should have to pay more. Anyway, okay.
So these brokers, these guys were making. I knew a broker,
and so, but they were just going left and right.
I knew one guy's like, I've refinanced whole families, because what happened was is they actually had at the time people were getting really low interest rates.
Whole families.
Like refi the whole family. I did like all you know,
grandfather.
Yeah, the sister, the brother, the niece who just bought a house. You know, because people were selling houses. You know, people were buying houses. It was happening at this time.
Plus, the interest rates were going up so much. The way I understood it is, if you bought a $100,000 house,
the value was going up.
Yeah, it was going up. So let's say you got all $100,000 in loan, put down nothing.
You expected 6 months later for your house to be worth $120,000.
Let's just say I'll make it even more even, like $200,000. At that point, if it was worth $200,000 in 5 years, now you would owe $100,000 on a $200,000 house.
Why would
which
you
means
buy a
you
house?
You have $100,000 in equity.
Exactly. That's the argument. Why wouldn't you buy a house?
Yeah. But then the problem is it went from $100,000 to $50,000. So now you owed $100,000 on a house that was worth $50,000.
Yep. Now let me tell you another people who were part of the gaffe.
Okay.
Were the appraisers.
People now, appraising houses?
Yeah, oh yeah, baby. These guys are
they
good.
Appraise
let me tell
it for
you
less or more?
So listen to this. They give you more value. So what would happen was is you'd have your buddy who's the appraiser who you're giving all this business to. You'd call him up. You'd be like, hey, I need an appraisal for 2 Main Street, okay? Now you know as the
who am I calling him? I'm the
loan officer okay. or the bank manager okay. not the bank manager, but the manager, the broker, whoever. By the way, we never. When I worked there, you never had contact with your appraiser. We had to go through a third party, so
yeah,
we never had contact.
Be able to,
yeah, I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right?
They should totally be independent.
So crazy. Let's say I knew that this guy wanted to take out a loan. His credit score wasn't that good, but he wanted to take out 90 on his $100,000 home. Okay, yeah. He wanted a loan for 90,000. But he didn't qualify.
Okay.
He only qualified for 85% loan to value, as I called it
so
before.
Like,
loan
to value. Tell him it's worth 130.
Hey, I need. You'd call the appraiser. You'd be like, "Hey, 2 Main Street. I need 125. Now, think about how else this works. Hey, Mr. Johnson, you know how you were looking for 10,000. You thought I could only get you the 10,000. Your house is worth 125. I can get you 15 now. Now, no. You just upsold this guy $5,000.
Oh, my God. But something he can't afford in the first place. He couldn't afford the 10.
Some of them could. But the point is now you upsold him $5,000.
Yeah.
Okay? You made extra money on the loan amount. Now think about people are doing this
because
with
because their house
numbers.
Is worth more. That's what my Renazisi said. It was like there's all these percentages. If you own percentage of what your house is worth, there's this tax you don't have to pay once you owe like 20 or 40% in.
Isn't it amazing?
So then it all depends on how much you say it's worth. And that's what kind of percentage you are. So then, oh, my God. And the pain, oh. Yeah, so many people can be in on it.
It's amazing,
when
right?
When we steal money at the Comedy Store, they had this system of checks and balances.
Was there a lot of stealing?
Yes, absolutely. I did it a little bit. Here's how I did it. Well, here's the system of checks and balances. You would write this ticket. It's all changed now. You would write this ticket.
Yeah.
We worked the cover booth. You would write this ticket for $20. Let's say for one person. And you would give that to the door guy. The door guy would take the ticket, see $20, one person, take that one person to a chair, and that was it. I think they gave that note then to the waitresses. The waitresses would be like, okay, that's one person who paid. That was later they did. When the waitresses never fucking looked at it, they just grabbed the piece of paper and put it in a bucket. They didn't care. So you're like, oh, it's a system of checks and balances. If you comp somebody and charge them, the door guy will see that you comp them. So he'll be like, hey, why'd you comp this person?
You lie about how many people came in, and then you keep the money.
You can do that if you didn't have to write up the ticket
right.
for the door guy and the waitresses. But you realize, oh, I can just give 10 to the door guy.
Right.
And so then you would just people were stealing left and right.
I grew up working
but
my
it was
dad.
Just checks and balances until you realize, but both of them are in on it.
Right.
Once both
that's
of them
what
are
the
in
government
on
is.
It,
that's what the government is. That's
there's no checks and balances.
That's it. That's what the government is. That's all it is.
Yeah,
it's the same guy.
Judicial branch and this branch.
The CIA is investigating, not the CIA. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, who's the problem? Is eventually it's going to get crooked.
Who will police the police? Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. The one time I used to steal, me and Sean Miller used to. We're to the FBI now. But we would just do on Sundays.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is. He's living in his car for 2 years. He lived in a fucking van in the valley. Now he works. He's an FBI agent. But it was Sunday's open mic and employees, and then showcase started at 9. So we were supposed to be free cover until 9. Then 9 o'clock on, it was $5. Yeah. But if the open mic and employees were going late, if it was like 9:15, 9:30, and they're still going, the point is don't charge them for this amateur show.
Right.
So we'd still let people in for free. But then we realized that when it was about to switch over, the people thought they had to pay $5. But the comedy store didn't make us charge. Right. We just charged the customers and steal that. And we would go to Pink Dot and get... Doritos and ice cream, and we'd split it. That's all we
stole. At least you spent it on an honest, you know, you put it back into the economy.
One shift
thing. Right back into Sunset. Right. Now that guy's going to come by, take his friends.
Other people, they'd be stealing hundreds a night.
That's crazy.
Oh.
When I grew up working at my dad's store, and the amount of theft that he had to, like, I mean, he had it down, but even when you had it down,
still some.
There's still always a way, because when you had, like, lottery tickets, it'd take, like, a week before sometimes you knew something was missing.
Yeah.
People would just scratch $1,000 worth of tickets in a day.
Yeah.
And you think this guy was, like, a nice kid, you know? Son of a cop in town. Yeah, what was he going to do? Yeah?
Diaz said that. He said he trained on some job working at a gas station. You have to do these check drops. And you take the safe and put the money in the safe. And then, you know, and then the next shift would come on. So we get a job. And day one, he just took the thing and left. He said he didn't need... He had a fake Social Security card or just put down a fake Social Security number.
Yeah.
They didn't know his real name. And he just took it and left. And the guy showed up at 6 a.m. to relieve him. He's like, where's the fucking guy? Where's Bob Smith? Like, hilarious. Oh, there's no Bob Smith?
And he stole what again?
Just whatever the drop was for the night. He would just
crazy.
Take it and go. He worked for like 40 minutes. And he just left.
Yeah, dude. Like I said, man, vacuum repair. There's so many.
Oh no,
scams.
I know what it was. He told everybody he was coming in for gas. He was like, "Yeah, just pay me the cash," and he wouldn't put any in the till or the drop. That's what it was. There's just scams. People will find a way.
They will.
And so the appraisers were praising it for higher.
Higher, you know.
The people in charge of making your credit scores weren't on the record. The people asking you to file a loan weren't giving the real story. And they're like, these people shouldn't be in homes. It's not really their fault. If you're being lied to by people you think are...
But listen, there were people... Now let me...
They had to be in and out, too.
I have been... This will be the
there
largest...
There must have been people who were like, hey, what can you do for me here?
This is my first... I'm so happy. This is the largest audience. And I've said this to lots of people I've had this conversation with. I'm so happy to finally call out just the greedy borrowers. The idiots who deserved...
Yeah.
And when I say deserved... I mean through and through to lose their fucking houses, okay? I'm going to give you my favorite example. I won't say his last name.
Who cares?
His first name was Philip. Philip was a jackass, okay?
Seymour Hoffman?
Huh?
Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Speaking of people's loans, because we had something called VLF, Virtual Loan File, so you could look at the loan for certain people who just had loans with Countrywide. So you could look up... when I first started at Countrywide, you could type in Hilton, and you could see Paris Hilton's loan. Like, I saw all her loan information, yeah.
That's a funny thing.
I actually left a message. I called, and I can't think of his name. He closed for the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, really?
In Minnesota, yeah.
Mariano?
I can't remember his name. Can't remember who it was. But, you know, and it was like occupation, baseball player.
Wow.
Annual income... You know.
2.7 million, whatever it was.
Right. It was actually,
okay,
it was
so
like
Philip
Seymour
Hoffman did what?
So Philip, all right. So Phil calls me now, and I'm going to get to Phil, but let me explain this real quick. So you had what was called the subprime boom. People like to talk about the subprime. That was a way of classifying people who had bad credit who would get the higher interest rates.
Okay.
So if you had bad credit, you were getting a higher interest rate, but if you needed the loan, you'd get that loan because you had all these credit card bills. Yeah, a lot of times what happened is...
Sometimes I can see it too where
it helps.
I'm about to get a lot of money. It's a tough time.
Yeah.
I will be back on my feet.
Sure.
I know because I have this coming in.
Yep.
So just get me through this and then I can pay the loan back.
Yep. And there were very few cases, but that did exist. Because look at it this way.
That was very few cases?
Yeah.
Of smart loans?
As we know, in every... everywhere you go in life, the smart are in the very few. And
it's like this. It's like, hey.
It's like what Rogan says. When you get an adult, you think that the adults are going to be adults.
And then you realize, I'm the age the adults are.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. That would have been me.
Yeah.
And you're like, and I always just thought, hey, maybe I'm a few years behind.
Of course I would look up Paris Hilton's loans.
Right?
Of course I would do that. I'm a dude. I don't represent the loan industry. I'm just some dude.
Yes. That's it, man. You know? Now imagine...
Why would I not do that?
That's why...
Rogan had somebody call him that once from some business, And somebody called them and was like, oh, this is Joe Rogan, like pranked. And it was like, I can't believe they would give out my number. I was like, what? That's a person. They knew you were Joe Rogan. Person. They just fucking abused their oh, sorry, they're not in the up and up.
That's right. I think I remember saying that podcast once. How exactly how like it's like it's just the guy.
Yeah. I love it when you go into like a Denny's or something. You're like, excuse me, well, we sat down before them, but they got our meal first, and you're like, oh, you mean the crack team at Denny's isn't the judicial system?
Dude. That's right, man. That's why, and again, not to go back to, you know, to reference Rogan stuff, but that's why it's you need the village. We need small villages. Yeah. And occasionally you got to go into the city.
It's Hillary Clinton.
What?
It's Hillary Clinton.
What do you mean Hillary Clinton?
Takes a village.
Oh, right. Yeah. Fuck her, too.
Fuck her. She came up with this idea.
Bill Clinton was the one who deregulated all the loan. He was the one who lowered. He's the one who lowered the bar. If you were only banging sevens, he's the part of you who said, now let's start banging fives. And honestly,
that's what people don't know.
People don't know that
all these Obama apologists and George Bush haters are like, see what happened to George Bush? He ruined the economy.
It was
economy.
Already
it was like,
happening,
it was
man.
Like, no. Clinton did it.
Do you know what the
it
best part about
six
that?
Years for everything to catch
do you know
up
what
to
the
that?
Best part about that was when Bush was in office and people were just starting to default.
Yeah,
a lot of people had what you had was you either had a fixed rate loan or you had an ARM and an adjustable rate mortgage, which meant you said to yourself because you
whatever
could get
the interest rate is,
you could
I'll
get 6% to you could get 6% for 30 years, but I can give you an adjustable rate loan at 5%.
Yeah.
Remember how interest didn't matter?
Yeah.
Well, interest matters now because I can give it to you lower now. And plus, you know what? The interest rates are always going down.
So even probably, though they'll be up.
Right? But that's what you say. You know, the interest rates are going down.
Wait,
so.
But these interest rates, they apply to different people in different ways.
Yeah, but their interest rates go up and down based on the 10-year T-bill, which is the Federal Reserve has gives you what – See, the bank...
Hold on. But when you say interest rates, before this, you said if you have bad credit, you have to pay a higher interest rate.
Right.
If you have good credit, you pay a lower interest rate. So what are the interest rates? What are that?
Okay. So the all of the banks that we, the common man, borrow money from,
yeah.
We all, they all these banks adhere to the rate that the federal government...
FCC?
No, that's the Federal Communications.
That doesn't do this. Okay, yeah. FTA?
The Federal Reserve. No. Just the Federal Reserve.
Okay. Ben Bernanke.
Well, he works for the Fed, yeah.
Okay.
He's a jackass.
He's a senator. I like that guy. He talks cool.
Bernanke?
Yeah.
No. You're thinking of
who's the gay guy from Massachusetts?
Oh, why am I blanking on his...
Man,
my home state. How do I not know this guy?
I like that dude. You ever hear something that Christian? You keep thinking of it. That Christian guy who was like from a Christian magazine talking about putting gays in the military.
Barney Frank.
Yeah, and he goes, "Well, would you think?" I forget what it was. I have to find that video. He just broke this guy down so well. And the guy's like, "No, I'm just asking a question." And he goes, "No, you're not. You're asking a leading question, and that's okay because you're a journalist and that's what you do. But take credit for what you're fucking doing."
Right.
He didn't curse because he's right. More.
No, right.
Better speaker than I am.
So they, and this is why, not to get Ron Paul again, but this is why it's a problem when the government's just printing money.
No. Hold on. We're going to get too broad.
No. It's not. Because here's the thing. Based on how much government the money prints,
yeah.
Is how much they lend that money out to the
based
those
on how
banks.
Much money the government prints, yeah.
Is based on how much money they lend, what interest rate they lend that money to these banks to from the
so the
from
government
the Federal Reserve,
loans the banks.
The Federal Reserve loans to the banks. The banks lend to the smaller banks, which lend to you.
All right, and the Federal Reserve is the government's extra money.
No. That's what people don't understand. Is in 1913, we used to have. Just notes. So it just gold was gold.
Right.
You know what I mean? It meant something. But then, because it got infected, our government said to a group of individuals who have nothing to do with our government, and by the way, which we don't audit, that's why Ron Paul's always saying audit the Fed. Since 1913, that's why inflation's up 94%, is these particular people print the money. It's not the government. It's like a small business that doesn't have a name.
And they can't get fired?
Dude, you know who the Rothschild family is?
I mean,
that's why it's not a joke. Like, I would say it's not a joke.
Are the Rothschilds Jews?
It's not a No, I don't think so.
Oh, they have the Christmas tree.
It's not a conspiracy. I mean, this is like just history. I mean, this is stuff eventually 100 years, 2,000 years from now, they're going to be laughing just like the Roman Empire fell. Like, that's how like obvious this stuff is to anybody.
Wait,
who
why
can take
won't
a step
they audit
back.
The Fed? Why won't they just say, hey, show us your numbers? That's all. That's not. That right. should be one like, hey, Ron Paul, we're not going to elect you, but like, oh, that totally, yeah, let's do that. It's really easy to do. We'll just ask to look at their books.
Right. They lost like $40 billion. They've lost money. The Fed. They can't even account for it. That's why Bernanke, if you watch that clip, they ask him, where did the money go? They're like, well, they're having trouble finding it.
Mother, daughter, there. Absolutely, daughter.
I mean, obviously. So.
And like, oh, so sorry. And this is Rothschild's like, I'm buying another yacht.
They control one family controls 50% of the world's wealth.
The Rothschilds.
That's why when Pete, yeah. It's like the Rothschild, Morgan. I'm sure they've all
interfucked. After they no longer did that, how do they decide how much money to print? And it no longer represented gold, so what does it represent?
Nothing. It's fiat currency. It's fake.
But it's like that in every country. No country uses their money to, represent gold.
Here's where people dismiss it. Once you start using grander... Once you start using grander notions, that's when people start to think conspiracy theory, and it's not.
Hold on.
There is a World Bank. Why do you think the Euro exists? Because who's this World Bank?
I know the World Bank. There's one in Beverly Hills.
No. That's the joke. The World Bank. The actual World Bank. I'm not talking about a bank with a name. I'm talking about they don't have business cards. That's just them. They operate.
Who is it? Who are they?
It's this group of people.
The same people who control the Fed?
Yeah.
Control the World Bank?
Yes. Dude, do you realize why Greece
Wait,
is...
Their,
do you
their
realize
money
why
used to be, hold on. Did their money used to represent gold also and silver and all those junks? Like they had currency in 1850 in Poland.
If we all needed something to survive and I was the one making it, don't you think I'd make a little extra for myself?
Yeah, sure.
That's it. It just exists on a big scheme.
So what do you mean? We all need money to survive, so...
Meaning we use our money.
Yeah.
So if you were printing money...
Oh, you're going to print some extra for yourself.
Yeah.
Man, I worked for my aunt once, and she was a party planner. I think she still is. And there was this party for somebody got elected, I think the mayor of D.C.
You must have had a great bar mitzvah.
Yeah. No, it was...
Did I say bar or bar? Which
bar,
one?
You did it right. But she hadn't started doing that yet. But I was like 16... And it was at Union Station in D.C. that they rebuilt and made really nice. And it was this big, it might have even been like an inauguration party.
Yep.
But I think it was just a mayor or a senator. But maybe he's a president. No, I don't think so. Anyway, it wasn't the president. So we had to deal with money. We had to count the money and put it aside. I worked the bar for a while and you take those tips.
Sure.
I don't know what it was. So as you're counting this, I'm seeing hundreds. And I'm like, I should just drop one of these. Into the there's so many hundreds that I'm whipping through. I should just drop it in between the crack of the cabinet, on the wall,
and just get it later.
I could use $100 extra.
This is your aunt's place?
Nope.
Oh, this is the other.
She was just doing party planning, so she got me the job.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And it was like, I was so scared of getting caught that I think I didn't do it. But I think I was like on the border of like trying to push it in. It didn't go smoothly, so I couldn't end up stealing it.
But
that's what people do.
Theft, and not to keep referencing, but like I said, growing up in my dad's store, like I knew that. People would think that all the money that went in the register like automatically went into my dad's pocket. It's like, no, like my dad would make a penny on a pack of gum. You know, what? It was like a game of pennies. So I learned from a very young age that stealing is terrible. Like I never stole. I would never sell. When kids used to go into the store when I was a kid, not my dad's store, like other people, you know, we go into a store. I'd see kids like run out of there and be like, oh, Jesus, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Now, as far as stealing from a corporation, I give a fuck.
Easier to do that, right?
Much easier.
Yeah, it's way easier to shoplift from fucking Macy's.
Well, not shoplifting, but I'm saying like...
Stealing money.
No, I couldn't... Not like actually physically taking cash, but like if I don't know.
If you steal soda from a mom and pop shop, you're saying. It's different than stealing a soda from 7-Eleven or
Put it this way. If I got away... Ralph. If I got away... With not claiming something on my taxes, I wouldn't feel bad because
like
fuck
the government.
Them.
They're not, and I don't
what
even
you,
miss
what
that
are
money.
You going to do? So you can use it to go bomb some kid, like you know, or fucking ship sand for a volleyball court.
Yeah,
that bullshit.
That's what I tell whenever I tell my friends to go on unemployment. They're like, oh, I don't want to. I'm like, why?
Dude, you earned it.
You pay taxes. You don't want to pay those taxes. Dude. It doesn't go to shit you want. Some of it does, but most of it doesn't. So get some of that shit back.
So my best month at Countrywide.
Yeah.
I started to say, so when I got there, I started doing internet leads. So people would actually immediately go online. And when they went online, they would request for somebody to call them like right away.
Yeah.
So that would be me. So that was, you know, it was a little bit of a harder lead than somebody calling in. But I liked it because you could get paid a little more on it. I did not. I never. It had nothing to do with the borrower. Like, it was just out of the company's money. They were supposed to be harder, but I liked it. And I did really well. I was like top. I was in like the top like 15 for internet leads for the whole East Coast of Countrywide, which was like, you know,
oh,
like
really?
Five. Oh yeah. I was really good at, you know, at what I did. I worked 13 hours a day, worked my ass off. Cause I always knew it wasn't going to last. I always knew it wasn't going to last forever. You know,
you were making money.
Yeah. My best month was March of 2007. I'm already smiling. I made north of 15 grand.
Wow.
For 23, that's insane. Yeah, I lived at home. I lived at home.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, listen, I never, and that's why I'm still driving my Jeep. When everybody went out and bought, like, cars and shit, I was like, I love my car. It's my best friend.
I second commercial and started running. I remember Adam Barnhart, this comedian, going, oh, you should buy a car. And I was like, yeah. He goes, no, I'm serious. I'm like, what?
No, yeah, dude, you
spend that money, buy a car. I'm like, are you crazy?
Dumb.
I booked two things ever.
Yeah.
That money's not going to last, dude. What are you talking about?
Call that African American rich.
Yeah. Nobody calls it that.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
So real quick, let me I was saving, but I knew it wasn't gonna last forever. Like, I mean, I saved, and when I moved, I mean, that's how when I moved out here, I mean, I just slowly lived off that for like a few years, you know, 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that didn't mean that I didn't have to make money. I mean, I'm still working. I mean, listen, I've been out, you know, I've been here for a few years, and it's not like I'm still running on that, but like, that helped, and I basically invested in myself, you know?
I came out with, like, I think $12,000, and if not for that, I don't think I would have made it out here.
Whereas,
like, I saved up enough where I'm like, I'm not living hand to mouth. I'll get a temp job, but it's not like, I need it today or I'm fucked.
That's why when people, like, especially when people, the other podcast I work on, they're constant emails of people saying, I'm thinking about becoming a comedian. What do I do? Like, that, it's like, well, you know, I got to go out every weekend just to keep my sanity. It's like, well, that's your first problem. Why don't you take a year and a half, which is going to go by anyways,
yeah,
in your shitty job. Save as much money as you can.
Yeah.
And then go do something fucking cool.
Right.
That's it.
They can also do comedy at night while they do that.
Well, see, I couldn't because I was working until 9 o'clock at night. Because you got to think, when you're talking to people,
most people don't work that late, though.
Right, most
people
don't.
You work a lot, 6, 7. You can still do an open mic. And then you can go try to be a full-time comic, the money you saved.
I mean, I was on the sales floor. I mean, I lived with these guys. There was a whole office of guys. It was like...
And even if you fail, then you bought yourself a fun year. You've saved up for a fun vacation year.
Dude, I have experienced things that I remember thinking, like, if I don't go do it, you know what I mean? If I don't drop everything, I mean, you know... When I got out of mortgages, I worked at a fine wine company, and I was going to be working for this fine wine distributor. And when I talk about cush job, not that it wasn't hard work, but like, dude, you're dealing with wine. You know what I mean? How hard can that be? You know, fine wine restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But yeah, you got to like learn how, people got to learn, like, yeah, you're going to have to drop everything. You give up some shit. Big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say big deal, I mean like, you know.
Okay,
me,
so you worked
tougher.
In this job. You saw this stuff coming.
I saw it coming, dude. That's why when you brought up...
So what were you doing at that point? Were you like, hey, guys, were you telling anybody? Or were you just like, nope?
No, I mean, everybody knew. I mean, we all knew what was going on. And I mean,
so didn't somebody say, well, the result will be all these people will be fucked.
But we weren't fucked. You got to understand, we weren't fucking... Even if you weren't fucking people... I don't say we, because I can't speak for everybody. If you weren't fucking... That was the other thing, too. If somebody didn't want to, like... Somebody qualified for a loan,
yeah,
and you were like, yeah, like, it seems a little fishy, you know, like...
Like you said, like, I don't think you should do this.
Or sometimes they qualified for what was called a stated loan, stated income, which means instead of sending you their W-2s, you would just state their income, which is actually a great way, because there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, I do this, I make this much money. You would go to this database to see if that was even fairly accurate, and it was like, you know, just an easy way to process a loan. So I did stated loans for plenty of people that were like, Yeah,
that's what they do
process.
For a credit card.
No paperwork.
Like, how much do you make? I remember at college, we'd always be like, $65,000.
Yeah.
Will this help me get this free T-shirt?
$65,000 flipping eggs for the drunk kids in the and at the mess hall.
I made $5.25 an hour for fucking 8 hours a week work. So nobody thought to do anything. Did you feel responsible at all for not doing anything to stop it? Or there's nothing to stop?
What
I
are
guess.
You going
to
do, man?
Yeah, I guess there's no one.
And
to
here's
tell.
The thing. Like I said, if somebody stated like their loan, it's like, geez, well, you know. I don't know if you take this loan, you qualify. It's like, well, if I don't take it, do it, the guy next to me is going to do it.
Yeah, but...
No, and I'm not saying fuck the guy over. I'm saying let the guy fuck himself over. And again, you actually signed...
some sort of human responsibility, isn't
but
there?
No, but listen to this. Here's the other thing. I got in trouble once. There's this thing called RESPA. It's the Real Estate Something Act. I don't remember. I used to know it.
Oh, yeah, RESPA.
RESPA.
Yeah.
So RESPA, there's oh, yeah, you're fucking around. Dude, for a second, I was like, well, he did say he looked at buying a house. Anyways, so, you know what? Too many Asian chicks. Not that...
I'm not into that.
I don't like Asian chicks.
But honestly, that same girl with her level of looks in Minnesota would be horrifying to look at.
Oh,
that
terrible.
Girl's not bad. But yeah. She's like, ugh. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
So this RESPA Act. Stick with me.
The RESPA
We're
Act.
Almost done, yeah.
The RESPA Act said that I had to give these loans.
Oh.
I could get in trouble if I didn't give this guy a loan because I was not
because
judging.
People were getting racist and doing things
sure.
like that.
Sure. If he qualifies for this loan and I don't give it to him, why wouldn't I give it to him?
And that's what Clinton wanted when they said everyone deserves it. So if they qualify,
they
you give
lowered,
them shit.
Like I said, you went from saying I ain't banging anything less than a 7 to just scooping fours in like Josh, you know?
Right. The thing is, I remember this guy hearing this guy on NPR talking about it, and they were saying it was like this argument, you know, when they have like a round table, like they go back and forth on the radio. So this girl was like, well, we have to figure out how to help these people get, you know, like save their homes and stuff like that. And this guy was like, no, these people should not ever have been homeowners.
Ever.
These people are apartment renters.
Yep.
Somebody lied to them. They lied to themselves. All these things you're talking about happened, and now they're in homes. We're not going to try to save that for them.
You know what you just brought up?
It's like if you buy a Mercedes and can't make the payments. They're like, yeah. Guess what? That's Give it back and go get a fucking scooter.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Rent it.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to save their Mercedes.
Listen, we can't account for everybody's income. Like, unless you just want...
I live in an apartment building because I don't have enough money to have a house. I don't have steady income.
Yeah. And you know what I was saying earlier about the bank? And you'd walk in and your wife would make the pie and it was down the street. That also made you feel good about saving. Because you said to myself, I'm going to save. And there was nothing wrong with saving. You know what
right.
I mean? And not having to borrow the money. Like, it was like, okay, I work. I make this much money. I make an honest living. I save my money. Like... that's why instead of having banks, like we should just have a place where we go
that's
put our money.
Everybody lost their money in the banks.
We don't even need banks anymore. The only reason banks originated was so that if you know Jesse James and his like gang of like misfits came by to rob you know you of your like 12 pieces of gold,
yeah,
you know you had somewhere safe to put it because that guy had the safe at the end of the street. He became the bank. Now it's
because
oh, give us your
safe.
Money so you can make interest. Fuck that, dude.
Wait, but on the safe in the old days. In the 1700s or whatever, and you gave your gold to a bank, if it got robbed, did you lose your money or just the bank?
Yeah, and then what happened?
Federally insured.
And then it started becoming federally insured.
Because otherwise people are like, well, people keep robbing your fucking bank. I'm only keeping it there. But now everybody's keeping it there, so of course they robbed that place.
You know, if they let 20 years go by with a little bit of, you know, 50 with some technology.
So why don't people need banks now? What should they do instead?
Dude, that's why I hate hearing people complain about their bank. It's like, dude, you're worth like $1,500.
Oh, that's
keep it in your apartment. Nobody suspects that there's $1,500.
Yeah, my friend who was the economist who's told me about all the loans. This guy's so creepy. Who's this guy?
No, I'm talking about that chick smoking hot. But I didn't want to get off the topic again. On the open mic
he
again.
He said that he's the one who told me that like 3 or 4 years ago, he's like, trust me, don't buy a house now. Earliest you're saying is early 2011 to like recover. Still hasn't. The housing economy.
Oh, yeah. I remember when they were like, this will be over in
crazy.
3 years.
Any day now. Yeah. He's like, trust me, early as possible. And this was like in 2008.
That's why, too, you know, when Bush was there, they're like, oh, it's bad. It's like, dude, these adjustable rate mortgages that I was telling you about, we saw like, okay, well, if I gave a guy a loan that was fixed for 7 years,
yeah.
That's 7 years from 2007. That's 2014. There's still hundreds of thousands of loans that are still going to adjust.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So let me say this, too. The other people who were fucked too, not just appraisers. You're talking about everybody being in on
who
it?
Who else?
Real estate agents.
Why? What would they do?
Okay. I'm a real estate agent. You want to buy a house? How much money do you have to buy a house?
$10,000.
$10,000 to put down?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. What's your price range?
Between $240,000.
Make it more realistic. Say six. Say you got $60,000.
$60,000.
You got $60,000, and you want to buy a $500,000 house.
Okay.
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 I say okay.
Okay, hold on. Right there on the surface, that seems ridiculous. You have 12% of the value of this
house. That's a great loan to the bank.
That's a what?
That's a great loan because you're borrowing a ton of money, baby.
You shouldn't get a $500,000 home if you have $60,000 saved up.
Correct.
You should get a vacation for $3,000.
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
So the other thing that a real estate agent will ask you too is they'll say, well, how much can you afford in your monthly payment for a mortgage? So tell me that. How much can you afford?
$60,000.
You can afford $60,000?
Yeah, every month.
Okay.
That's what I have this month.
No.
Why won't I have it next month?
So let's say you could
probably afford, if I have $60,000, let's say I can afford to pay you, am I going to live there so I don't have to pay rent? I can afford to pay you $2,000 a month.
Okay, watch this.
Okay.
So you can afford a house. So let's say you said your price range was $300,000.
Okay.
And you tell me you can afford, so say $2,000 a month?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, gee, Ari, you said you can afford $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
You know, for $2,000 a month, you can actually afford to buy a house in the $600,000 range.
Oh, well, okay? Hold on. Keep talking because I'm interested.
Okay, right? Hold on. And guess what? I know an appraiser who I work with frequently in this area. I talk to him and he's pretty sure that the houses are going to go up. That's good news, right?
Hold on. How would appraisers know what the houses are going to do?
No, they don't.
They just know
remember,
if the electricity is all fucked up.
They're just guys. Remember?
Okay,
it's all that guys. Hold on. Let me finish.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Now, I know you said you could afford a $2,000 a month. Great news. We have an in-house mortgage broker who's going to handle that loan for you. It's a one-stop shop, the real estate office. Not only are they going to upsell you, and they're the ones, as one of my old team managers used to say, is they're the ones that opened the door with the key and came in, and when you asked to see, you know, the Honda that chick couldn't believe you drove, they're the ones that say,
hey, it was somebody,
we can do certified pre-owned BMW.
Certified pre-owned BMW. Oh, right.
They're the ones who upsell you.
And you're like, oh, okay, well, I want that. And everything's in-house. Oh, but hold on. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to fucking say something about my sponsors. Fuck. We're 2 hours and 19 minutes into this.
Let's do it.
What do you feel like doing? I have Amazon. I have Spotify. And I have Gamefly.
I don't like Spotify.
You don't like Spotify?
No. Make a playlist. Mark your period in time with a little bit of music.
Yeah.
Know who you are.
Know who you are.
You know, I don't need a billion songs. Yeah.
How old are you? 29.
29.
Yeah, I think...
I mean, I had tapes. I remember CDs when they were new.
The idea that you're fighting against of progress and of having access.
No, but it's
people
just...
are like, I don't need a... That's what people are saying with smartphones. We don't have to do Spotify, but that's what people are saying with smartphones. Like, I don't need everything at my fingertips all at once. Like, yes, you do.
Right.
You need more information at your disposal. What are you talking about? Why would you want less information?
I know.
And less access to music. You ever go to your iPod and be like, oh, fuck, I don't have the fucking old garbage album?
Yeah.
God damn it. Now I have to go steal it and then put it on my iPod?
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
with Spotify, you just do it right away.
Yeah.
Anyway, but let's not do that one. So which one? Gamefly? Do you play games?
No, not enough. We'll do Amazon.
Amazon. Okay. If you go to my website, arithegreat.com, there's a banner on the right-hand side that says Amazon. It's a brown banner. It says shipping. And there's a black one underneath that for Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And if you click on that, that takes you to Amazon, and then they just give me money back.
Yeah. And that's why I like sales. Because you were already going to buy it.
You're already going to buy it. Yeah, don't buy anything from
me. You're getting a good deal.
Uh-huh.
Amazon has helped you shop
around.
Amazon
has no tax also. You should be using Amazon instead of people.
You know, just as a loan officer, these are the programs. This is what is good for you.
Uh-huh.
And just like with Amazon's saying, hey, we got all of these to choose from.
Yeah, you can find everything there.
You were going to do it anyway, so why not give you some money? Because you led them to Amazon, and Amazon's good.
You ever do this, like when you see like a water bottle or Zoom thing or whatever this is, and you like take a picture on Amazon on your phone
and do
and show
app?
How much it is? Yeah, the app or the red light.
I've never
red
done
laser.
That one.
Red laser.
Is it good?
Do they have a barcode on that water bottle?
The Nalgene? No.
Oh, anything they have a barcode on, sometimes you just take a picture of the actual product.
Oh, the code, yeah. The
and
UPC.
It'll tell you,
of course.
Oh, here it is, and here's how much you can find it online.
Sure.
And then when you're like, wait, this was 60? I can get it for 42.
Sure, right at the store.
What do you want to tell you? I'm like, I guess nothing. I'll see you later. I'm going to Amazon.
And then when the clerk says, can I help you with something? You're like, nah, Ari already did. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And then go to my website. Just the one extra step. Go to my website first and then Amazon. If you're logged in, you'll already be logged in.
Yep.
Just
it anyway. Is tough to remember.
It's tough to remember. I've forgotten for myself a couple times.
Dude, I know. I forgot for the other podcast for Bills. And like I remember like twice I ordered something. Like, I'm just an asshole. I'm like, indirectly, I'm like, I could have been helping myself.
It's hard to remember. Yeah, exactly. Do you get a percentage of that?
No, I don't get a percentage. But, you know, what's good for the house is, you know.
I know. Just the one extra step.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're just like, oh, cool. Amazon. I got halfway through ordering something. I was like, oh. Wait, like all those printers and stuff?
And you know what, guys? I would also like to point out something.
Yeah.
If you order and later on you realize that you forgot to punch in Ari's code, Amazon is amazing that you can cancel that order almost up to 12 hours later, sometimes a day if it hasn't shipped yet.
Yeah.
Cancel that and punch in Ari. The Great or Ari?
It's Ari the Great or Ari Shaffir. Either one goes
and,
the same spot.
And make up for the fact that
you're right.
You fucked
Somebody told me that. I felt like writing him back. Like, dude, I just did it and I forgot to do the Amazon. I want to be
cancel
like,
it.
Well, can't do it. But that's like, it's like 2 minutes of extra work.
You know, you provide all this speech here.
Yeah,
and then
just make the same order immediately again.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. See, that girl's way hotter than her mom. The leg tattoo. That's an
underrated. I'm all set with her.
Upper thigh tattoo.
I like the complete opposite of that.
The lower thigh tattoo?
No, the wholesome.
Oh. Yeah, those are fun in bed. Okay, let me ask you a question about these appraisers. Not that they were just some dude, because if they were just some dude, they wouldn't have access to any of this. So not just some dude, they actually could have access to the amounts that go up and stuff. Like, but they don't. That's not something appraisers are trained in. The market, right?
No, they have nothing to do.
Nothing to do with it. But
so,
like, how do they decide? Hold on. How do they decide
what
just
a house
by looking
is
at
worth?
The wiring? Yeah, how do they decide?
Okay.
Can they just tell you what percentage
what they
of
do,
good or bad
so,
it is?
So it's based. So the town, there's an average sale of square footage.
What is in that? Do you guys have candy? Oh, that is exactly what I want right now. I've been wanting it for like the last 30 minutes. Oh, I have to decide. Well, both of you open up. Maybe I'll get one from each of you. What?
What do we got here?
A whole bunch of stuff.
These
First
cookies?
Of all, that you guys have, none of you have gummy bears is a huge disappointment. You got Twizzlers?
What's this Betty Crocker? You got whole cakes in here? Cake batter?
White chalk? Oh, it's a candle.
You guys got to do a better job. We're talking about sales here. You got to sell me. What do you? What should I get and why?
These cookies taste the best.
How much are these cookies?
$5.
$5 this whole box of cookies?
My name is Faison. Yeah. Today we're trying to sell King.
All right, what do you think?
$5
for a box
Diego
of cookies?
Zoo.
I'll give you $3.
Okay, hold on.
Everything's $5.
Wait,
everything's $5?
Yeah.
I'm broke. I'm going to let him buy it from you.
I'll buy it. I'll cover the cookies.
Did you see that? I'm going to just tell you guys what happened here. Just as I asked if they could be less than $5, Ari said $5. And he said, yeah. And Ari just said, okay. Didn't haggle.
$5.
$5 for each one?
Okay. Yeah.
It's people like Ari who didn't, you know, do the homework. Actually, this is a mom and pop operation, so that's good.
No.
It's on.
Giving back
Hello?
To the streets.
I
said, bore the shit out of everybody.
It's recording into that.
Oh, let me hear what you say.
You got to talk into the microphone there, bud.
Oh. Okay.
How are sales today? How are sales today? Good?
Yeah, it's real good. You know how it is.
I don't.
Oh.
Tell me. No, really, though. Tell me.
It's real
pretty
good.
Pretty
good? Yeah, pretty good.
What's the big seller?
I would say a Reese's.
Reese's Pieces?
Yeah, because they're all
now,
gone.
Now, see, now you don't have any Reese's Pieces in your bucket. You got to take a... Oh, cups. I thought you said pieces. I was going to say, you got to have the big seller.
Yeah.
Can't compete.
Yeah.
If you really want to kill it, you get a variety pack.
Yeah.
Eight different things.
Now, let me ask you something. Does he sell more because he's younger?
Yes, he does.
Come by here, the comic
see?
Store.
And that's going to go on in life. That's with hot chicks. That's with little kids. They know what sells.
Hot chicks like to buy stuff for me.
Look at this cartload. Jackasses.
They also have,
if you guys came by here at like 11 p.m. at night and just wait till all the comics come out from the back room, you would sell a ton of candy.
Yeah.
I don't know how late your bedtime is, but that would be the right time to be here.
I like how you just told these kids to get back out here at 11 o'clock at night, you know, probably on a school night.
Oh,
sell candy. Yeah, fuck school
kids.
Yeah,
you know how it is.
Make a little money more there.
Clipping hot. Hey, right, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You for the support.
Sorry I couldn't buy anything.
Thank you for all my friends, whoever you
are. Let me know if you're hiring. I'll sell some
my
candy.
On. What's your name?
DJ.
DJ? Very nice. Thank you. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice.
You too. Let's crack these cookies open right now.
Dude, the fact that you even knew that there were cookies, I'd like...
They always go in those things. Dude, stoners know.
Yeah.
Stoners know this stuff.
They get they're rocking like the ballpark thing where they're carrying them on their head.
O-U-D?
No, what's that mean?
It's kosher.
Oh, yeah?
The O-U stands for Orthodox Union. It's the circle U. And the D stands for dairy. So you
should have known that. I live in Little Jerusalem.
Where's that? Now?
Pico Robertson.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Because I pass them all the time. They always bug you. It's like, hey, do you want to buy? He's like, no. But for the first time, I have some money in my life. And then it's like, I was feeling a low blood pressure before. Low blood sugar.
Yeah, I hear you. Your low blood sugar. Definitely going to eat one of those. Thank you.
They're for us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, if those guys came to the back of the main room and everybody's stoning up in there and be like, who wants candy? They'd be like, oh, we all do.
Dude, $5. At least, you know Pete'd buy them.
$5 is not expensive. You get 8 of them. 8 bite-sized Butterfingers. 8 for $5.
Yeah. I don't know, though.
It's somewhat expensive. It should be like $3, but like... That's not bad. It's not like 20.
Dude, it really just pisses me off how I have had to see not only prices of things go up in my time,
mm-hmm.
but at the rate that they've gone up, like for my generation, has been insane. Because
what the percent gas?
$1.10 when I got my license in 1999.
Really? $1.10? Yeah, because it stayed the same for a while. I remember during the first Gulf War, which is way before. When was that? 92, 91?
Yeah. 91.
Gas shot up because of all that stuff. And then it came down. I remember telling my friends, like, hey, I found it for 99 cents. They're like, where? And I'm like, there's one place right now, Cap'n John. But then it also, after the war, it went back to that.
Yep.
Went back to $1, $1.10. And now it's 4 plus. Maybe high threes now, actually. But that's like tripling.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Hey, we help young black kids. That's all that really matters.
Like I said, put it right back. That's mom and pop as it comes.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, mom wasn't there, and Pop was like 10 yards
Pop
behind him
there.
Watching him sell his goods.
He said he's just doing it for summer school. Now, even if this is, a scam, let's say, like, oh, it's just for them. They're not trying to win a trip to San Diego. But first of all, trip to San Diego is like, oh, they're just, these two
that's
kids.
What he said he's trying to win a trip to San Diego.
San Diego Zoo. Not win. He's trying to make enough money.
He's trying to
pay for his trip to San Diego. Exactly. He's totally on the level.
Totally, I agree. Yeah,
he's like, I want to go to the San Diego
Zoo. He said that.
So I will use this money towards that trip.
Yeah. The contest is the one his dad set. So you guys want to win a trip? All you got to do is sell these cookies. Whoever sells the most cookies goes.
The Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
They're ready to beat the shit out of him. You call that a sale? We spent 10 minutes with those guys.
He's mad he couldn't sell candy to the other kid selling candy. If you were good enough, you could sell candy to that kid selling candy.
I like how they both said it. They're like, no, you got to buy from me. Like they're in competition with each other.
They are, yeah. But and then you heard me ask him. I said,
what?
Who makes more? I said, does he sell more because he's little? And he was like, yeah.
Yeah, he had almost nothing in his bin. They're those giant Tupperware things. They're like 4 feet by 2 feet.
Terrible
by
sales.
2 feet.
You know when I went on an interview?
They usually sit down, they set up shop somewhere, and they get people coming out of businesses and stuff.
By the way, I already told you about the David Taylor episode
of
The Skeptic Tank was phenomenal. And you talked about that interview question. When I went on an interview prior to working for the mortgage company, I went on an interview for like New York Life or some shit. Terrible. And they asked me in the interview, he goes, I'm going to ask you the hardest question that you've ever been asked in an interview. And I'm thinking to myself,
what was that?
I'm like, here we go.
Can I fuck you?
Yeah.
That would be the hardest question.
No, that's a pretty quick answer.
Oh, yeah. No, I guess. Yeah.
Can you say that again into my iPhone so that I can record this conversation and sue you for sexual harassment?
Mm-hmm.
The question was, he was like, I'm going to ask you something. He's like, I'm going to ask you to sell me this pen. Now, I didn't learn this in school.
Buy this pen, motherfucker!
Right? My immediate reaction was, what don't you like about your current pen? You know? Uh-huh. And he goes, okay, that was the fucking answer. And I didn't think it was that, like, you know, I didn't think it was that
sales shit.
Profound. Yeah, it was just pretty obvious. Like, what don't you like with your pen? Sell me this pen. Buy it because it's blue? No. You're obviously looking for a pen.
I only do, like, it writes real well.
No, you ask, why are you looking?
Why are you in the market for a pen?
Yeah, get them to talk. Motion creates motion or whatever it is, you know?
Get them to talk.
You got
to
get the need. When you're dealing with people in sales, you want to find out what they want. And again, you're not always being sleazy. Sometimes you're just helping them get what they need.
Oh, right. Like if you go to a car dealership and, like, well, what don't you like about your current car? Like, well, it was too slow. It's like, okay, well, we'll show you a faster car then.
Yeah. Yeah. You're obviously in search of something, you know?
Yeah.
So I got
Damn,
to
that
the...
Trayvon really loved the mic. He wouldn't give it up after a little
I
bit.
I know, right?
Whatever his name is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, these almond cookies aren't bad.
Yeah, they're not bad at all.
I had to give that guy a second look. And I was like, no, they're good. And I was like...
Yeah, oh, right. No, you didn't ask how they were. You're like, how much are they? Like, he said $5. And you're like, five? And he was like, yeah. And then that's when you...
Oh. No, I asked him about the almond cookies.
Oh, yes, how much, I thought.
No, I was like, are these good?
Oh. And then he goes, $5. That's how he answered you. He said $5.
No.
Oh. What'd he say?
He goes, yeah, they're good.
Oh. Yeah, like, what's he going to say?
But
if he even winces, his dad's
like,
going to beat
look,
the shit
like,
out of him.
Please tell me the truth.
Yeah.
I'll get something.
Oh, that was a truth look. Right.
Yeah, I was like, really?
I
At that point, he'd be like, all right, they're not the greatest, but these are really good.
I said to him, I go, I'll give you $3. Just see what he said.
Or
and
what?
He goes, everything's $5. Oh. And I was just like, all right, dad probably set the price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started to mention Philip, the borrower who had it coming. So, and then I started to, the reason we got off that, I was explaining how subprime loans,
mm-hmm.
a subprime loan meant that as a loan officer, because there was more money being made on the loan, it was on a higher interest rate, and they were harder to close subprime. It was very hard to find certain...
What's subprime?
Subprime means that you're not a prime borrower. You have less than good credit.
Shitty credit. Okay.
Shitty credit. So...
You're a homeless guy.
I mean, yeah.
Homeless guy would be a subprime lender.
You know, and put it this way. You know, people with the worst credit, doctors and lawyers.
Why?
Always. And that's not even like a...
Why?
It was the doctor. Just that
they
no,
buy too much.
No responsibility. They make tons of money. No responsibility. No attention to their own finances. It was night and day that they were the worst. That and people who just sounded like complete zilches over the phone. You know, you're just like, this guy's an idiot, you know. So with the subprime loans, you could make more money. And again, there were people that were calling especially when I started working. There were people that already had like bad loans. So I was trying to help people get out of bad loans. That was probably
by getting into better loans.
Oh yeah,
okay.
7 out of 10 of my borrowers were people who were in shitty loans who were trying to get into better loans.
Oh okay.
Which then becomes like a gray area too, because if you have to state somebody's income $500 higher than they probably make a month. But this loan's going to save their life.
Oh.
What do you do?
So they're like, now I got to fake it. But not only is, I mean, this is better than what they have. Not
Absolutely.
Like this will be the best thing for them, but like this will
Absolutely.
Be the best
thing for them. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
So
Phillips, see more often.
So you would make more money on these subprime loans. So you could make
Who?
One.
You, the loan officer.
Me and the bank and everybody made more money because they're paying more. And mm-hmm. here's the thing, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
You're a fucking delinquent. Hopefully it's not your fault, you know. But if you're just a delinquent, you're an asshole with money. Because here's the thing. Again, you can't forget the fact that people with money are irresponsible. 90% of the people got into it themselves.
Yeah.
Honest people, your parents, didn't get fucked.
Yeah.
Because they were just – they had it down.
I had the opposite way where I'm such a fucking Jew about everything. And my dad was a Holocaust survivor, so I'm always worried about saving and keeping things. I went to lease my car, the one I have. I leased first for 3 years and then bought it. And they were like, I was trying to get like a higher amount of like yearly allowable like miles.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, we can't do that. I'm like, all right, well, I think I'm going to look at the Chevy place because, you know, I think they might have 15,000
right.
miles. You guys only have 10. And they're like, all right, well, let me run your credit report anyway and just go. And they came out with like 3 extra people like, oh, yeah, we can give you the hire. Yeah, we want you in here.
Nice.
Because they were like,
yeah.
You will pay this loan back.
Right.
You are not a risk. We're just making money off you.
Sure. Like I said, it's all liability. Everything starts with liability, that your loan to value, how much you owe versus your home made, how much money you make a month consistently versus how much you have to spend out every month.
Yeah.
So this guy had his house was worth about $640,000. Down market, still worth about $640,000.
Okay. According to?
I mean, that's what it was. By the time I got in, all the appraisers, we weren't talking to them. It was all, you know, it was all legit. Sometimes you'd get fucked. Sometimes you'd be like, dude, this house actually is worth more than this. But it was some appraiser who was scared to, like, lose his job. So then he'd overcorrect it and fuck you and, like, fuck people for no reason.
Wow, so, like film critics.
So exactly. So, so he had a $420,000 loan.
On a $650,000 house.
I stood to make $4,200.
Nice.
I mean, that was great. I mean, again, you know, it's like...
He already had that loan? That's what he wanted?
He had... He owed... Actually, it ended up... It was a $460,000 loan. He owed $420,000 and he had $40,000 in credit card debt.
Okay.
Plus, actually, I think like another second mortgage he took out to buy a boat. So when I pulled this guy's credit, he's got... His credit score is like just at the point where it's kind of rough, but we can still give him a loan because he has a decent amount of equity. He had about 30% equity, which was, you know, pretty good.
What is equity?
Equity is the difference between how much you owe and how much it's worth.
Okay.
So if it's 70, 100,
30% equity means he has already paid $30,000 on a $100,000 house.
Yes. He owes 70. Equity is how much you own of your home.
Okay. And that's why if you owe let's say 20 on a $50,000 house, and then it goes up to 100,
that's why you
now you have 80% equity.
Yep.
instead of whatever with 40%
correct
equity or 20%.
100%.
Okay.
So he had the equity, and I'm like slam dunk. Guy seemed like he was all right. Pull his credit report.
Yeah.
And I see Banana Republic cards, three of them. Maxed
yeah.
out, like 560. Like with credit cards, you can actually go over your limit, which is kind of a joke as well. Like their computer doesn't know. So this guy, his wife had, you know, like $6,500.
Who goes to Banana Republic that much?
Oh yeah, I mean, like, listen, I mean, that's so
three banana. What?
Three totaling almost $15,000. And you know what? I think I'm actually being a little conservative with the numbers on how much he owed in credit card debt. He had a lot of credit card debt. So yeah. Anyways, he ends up, he wants to roll all this shit in because his monthly payment now with his mortgage, all these credit cards.
Yeah.
You know, his American Express, Visa, all this shit. His monthly debt, Jesus Christ, TMZ. The House of Blues.
It's always the same thing.
Ugh. The jackass narrator. So.
I bet that guy makes a shitload of money.
Yeah, he works every day.
Who is that? Yeah, he works every day.
I don't know.
It's not even a thing. Like, once they pay Kyle Kinane for Comedy Central, pays Kyle Kinane.
He's the one who does the voice. He does the voice. Yeah, yeah.
Next on South Park or whatever it is. That's Kyle Kinane.
Yeah,
Comedy Central, cool. You're looking out for a comic. You could have got some voice actor do this, but look out for a comedian.
Yeah, the one time they looked out for a comedian.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, but give it up for them for the one time for doing something right.
By the way, if you ever film, when you film your comedy special, just don't give it to them ever. Don't do it with them.
They said I was really close to getting a half hour this year.
Listen, you should have got a half hour 2 years ago, but that doesn't mean you should go with Comedy Central. It's like, if it's time to bust your load, yeah, you're ready, but don't waste it on a three.
That's what Norton said. They get into him 1 year, and he was like, fucking, they almost got it. The next year, they went back to him, and he goes, oh, you know what? I think I'll just do it where I can curse and do my own thing.
I'll do it
on HBO, because he was like more able to. Well, everything's changing now, so now I'd have to reconsider it.
Yeah, talk about that
8 months from now. Yeah.
Don't give away the secrets. Anyways.
I'm doing my CD just myself.
Oh, yeah.
I got the title.
What is it?
Revenge for the Holocaust.
Revenge for the Holocaust. That's good. Nice. I like that. Yeah. I don't think I've seen any of your recent shit either, so it'll be all fresh for me. That'll be fun.
Well, this will be all stuff that I haven't done in the last 6 months. All
right, so we're not boring these people. Get back. So Phil had all this bullshit on his credit report, man.
What do you mean bullshit?
Like credit cards, just shit stacked up.
Not bullshit. These are real credit.
Yeah. But when I say bullshit, it's just bullshit because it's like just spending money.
Yeah.
He used to make, he said that he was in computer software, and he used to make selling software. He'd make like a ton of money, but things weren't as good. He said, I got into some trouble. He's like, with my bills, I can't pay them as well as I used to. He's like, only last year, I took my whole family to Italy. Now, not just his family, his whole family. And he's
his greater family?
Aunts, cousins, uncles? Brothers, family. They pay. They didn't pay for a dime. He paid for everything.
Because he wanted to be a baller.
Hey, he just had didn't know money. Whatever. Anyways.
Such a rod.
Yeah.
And he had all his credit card debt. Wasn't paying back anything.
His total monthly payments with credit card, mortgage, and everything was like $4,600 a month. Yeah. And he's only and he was like hedging stuff. I mean, when I talked to him, he was barely making it by. Barely making it by.
Yeah.
But he had all this equity in his home, and so I put together like a little plan for him where I wrapped this shit into his house. I said, listen, I'm going to get the only loan.
Wrapped all the credit card debt into his house.
Right into his house. And this is when you have to do it. This is when it makes sense. He had a loan. I gave him the worst loan that you could give somebody.
Yeah.
Because it was the worst loan you could qualify for.
What do you mean? High interest?
This loan, I started him off at 8.75%, which is very high.
Oh, okay.
Ready? 8.75% on what they called a six-month LIBOR. What it was, it's just as evil as it sounds. This loan was at 8.75% for 6 months, and then it was going to adjust.
Had to be lower.
To like 13%.
Why?
It's going to go up.
Why? Why would it go up?
Because it's a high-risk loan. Well, on paper, this guy was going to lose his house next month, so why would you give him a loan? If it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I said, listen, you take this loan, all right?
You will lose your home.
I said, no. He had to take the loan.
Why?
Because he couldn't make his monthly payment.
Oh.
I was going to lower his monthly payment. Listen, his monthly payment was going to go from $4,600 a month. Because instead of paying,
how much are they paying in interest?
Instead of paying $350 to Amex, $250 to Visa, $250 for another Visa. Instead of paying all those, I was wrapping it into this loan. Because his mortgage alone...
So 13% is lower than that credit card debt would be.
The 8% that I was going to give him.
Uh-huh. But 8% wasn't forever. It was just for 6 months.
It's just for 6 months. But here's the point. I told him, listen, your credit score is right on
the cusp.
The cusp.
Yeah.
Right now, you barely qualify for this loan.
For the shitty loan.
You barely qualify for the shitty loan, you're going to lose your house. So if you take this shitty loan... Okay?
Yeah.
Which for you is the best loan on the planet because it's the only fucking loan that you qualify for. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
You take this
loan. But then what would you do at the end of 6 months?
I would refinance him into a better loan, which he would have qualified for. He would have qualified for because he had no place but up to go with his credit score.
Wow.
His mortgage payment was only like $2,200, $2,500 a month.
But his overall was 46.
But with all the other shit, it was like 46. So I saved this guy like $2,200 a month.
Oh, wow.
So I said, listen, Phil, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take the $2,200 a month in savings, okay? You're going to put, for the first 3 months, take the $2,200 a month and put that in savings because you don't have any savings. So now, at the end of 3 months, you got $6,600. That you have rainy day. That's just smart, right?
Yeah.
And you're paying less on your, all the shit. You don't have any of this credit card debt. It's off your head, your shoulders.
Then
I said, in 6 months, I said that for the first 3 months. I said, then after, if you want, because you've just kind of cheated the system here, pay extra. Even though your minimum payment is only $2,200, send in three because it's quicker that you pay it off.
Right.
Okay? I'll give you another figure. If you have a 30-year loan and you send in one extra payment per year.
So 13 months in 12 months.
In 12 months.
Yeah.
You will turn a 30-year loan, you will have it paid off in 22 and a half years.
Oh, you save 7.5 years.
And that 7.5 years, let's call it $1,000, $12,000 a year, you're saving hundreds of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan.
Wow.
But why would you do it? Because nobody's smart.
And they say, well, it's a whole extra month's loan. It's like, no, it's 1/12 extra.
Yeah.
So every time you pay 1/12 extra, save that to the side. Or just pay each month, pay 1/12 extra, and then you've paid them.
However you cut it down. Right. If every 2 years you had to throw in $12,000.
Right.
You know, or 20, or whatever. You did it every 2 years.
Yeah, my friend Avi, that economist, he got numbers real well, and he would say that after he wanted his college loans.
Avi, good with numbers? Get out of here.
Who would have thought? But he was like, can I borrow some money? Because I realize if I pay as much at once right away, then I can cover the interest. But the interest is so high that for the next 5 years, I'll be paying 85% just interest, just to get that down. And then I start hitting the base. Because if I just give him $15,000 right now, then I could just really attack the base.
It's just like 5%, 30 years, or 30%, 5 years. Time is just as bad, much of an enemy.
Yeah.
So Phil, you're clean. You got no debt.
Yeah.
Your credit score is going to go up. You're making enough money where you can manage, I think. Call him back in 3 months.
Yeah.
Phil, how's it going? Andrew, I can't talk. Gotta go. I wait another week. I call him. Phil, everything, you know, everything going all right? I'll make sure the loan, you know, payments, everything's going. And I can see in the computer
that he hasn't made his loans.
I can see there's like a 45-day, like, period where it's delayed for me to get that information because the way that it's all reported.
But you can see 45 days ago. Month and a half. And he hadn't paid that month and a half?
He paid the first month.
Okay.
The second month he paid at the very last minute. The next month he didn't pay.
The very last minute? I mean on time?
Like that day.
Yeah, that's when you're supposed to do stuff.
Yeah, but it was like, obviously, this guy should be thanking the Lords that he can do this.
Yeah.
And he should be happy to make that payment. Him and his wife should both hold the envelope, walk down to the mailbox, put it in.
But they said it's due on the 5th. So they paid on the 5th. It's fine. Doesn't mean he's unhappy. Okay, but go ahead.
So I call him up 3 months after that, 6 months in now. 6 months. And I said, Phil, let's do it. Let's get you out of this.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, I didn't listen to you. He opened two credit cards.
Two more credit cards. Yeah.
He opened two credit cards because he realized...
Oh, I'm only paying $2,600. I have all this extra cash now.
Of course you do.
I was barely getting by before, but now I'm up $2,000 a month.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he can't afford to take the whole family to Italy, but, you know, maybe he, took them to the local...
Take them to Palm Springs.
The local metropolitan area. Yeah. This was outside of Boston, so maybe they went to Morton's, you know? They got the oysters, you know? Yeah. They went for it. So... Fucking Phil, man.
Wow. And so then what happened to him?
He lost the house.
He lost the house.
I mean, he's got a wife, kids. But what the fuck was I going to do? You know? I did everything I could.
And then it went up to 13% because he didn't pay back anything, so his credit didn't get any better.
I think that at that point...
Wait, why didn't he change the loan at that point?
I always had the feeling that in his voice there was some anger. Like, I feel like he was considering, like, divorce, and there was a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know... When I talk to him,
I feel like sometimes people shouldn't have access to the kind of power of signing a loan, of being able to get one. It's like, this is a lot of money. I should have to prove that I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, no, I'll do it. And then he was just such an asshole and didn't. But he probably didn't realize the consequences. Like smoking. We're like, yeah, I know cancer, but nobody really thinks they're going to get cancer.
Right. But he actually himself... I think he just got, some people just get to the point where they've seen the end, and it's just imagine
Fuck
like
it.
Imagine it's like just look around, like look at comics. If a comic has like a rough 6 months,
they're like, okay, I'm out.
That's it.
Yeah.
Whereas
that's
they don't know here. They don't know that there's guys that they're like drooling over their acts, and they don't know that this guy probably, you know.
Oh yeah, they quit a lot. A lot of people see like, oh, where am I going to be in a year? Oh, it's still that place. No, forget it. Forget
stupid,
it. I don't want to deal with this anymore.
They're just
I'll
so
just
stupid.
Retire. That's what people, when they come out here, that's what they end up doing. I feel like it's those first 6 months, if you can get past that. Because when you move out here, you're like, oh, I'll be at the Tonight Show in like 2 months. When you have no idea, when you haven't even done comedy.
Right.
You're like, I'm going to be a star, I guess, within a year.
Yeah.
But and then you realize, oh, it's going to be like 10 years before you even have a chance.
Yeah.
Then most people at that point, they're like, oh, I'm out.
Right.
I'm going to law school. I'm out.
Right.
And that's okay. But that's when most people quit.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy was probably seeing the end and was like.
He just probably, he said the hell with it, you know? He said, you know, again, his marriage was probably, I mean...
Shitboxed.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's you know, man, the whole mortgage. Now, Countrywide ended up going under because, I mean, listen, no matter, again, it's like
they
the church.
Went under. Why? Because no one used them anymore?
Because stocks started going down. Well, Bank of America
once
actually.
Bank of America
bought all of the loans that Countrywide service.
The country or what?
That service? Countrywide service. See, Countrywide was a very unique company where not what they would do is they would. So we would acquire loans from people who didn't have Countrywide. We would also refinance current loans. But when you take, like I said, what I was explaining earlier, is they bundle these loans and sell them to the major banks. So even Countrywide, being the largest lender in the country, mm-hmm. their loans are still sold, like blocked off and sold as, not bonds. I'm trying to think. Is bonds? I'm blanking. But rusty. But these things, that they're blocked off and they're sold in packages to investors. So Countrywide, what they would do is very unique, is they would actually maintain the rights to service the loan. So even if Bank X owned your loan, if you started with us, it's always going to say Countrywide on the bill.
Oh, yeah.
And when you call in, it's always going to come to Countrywide. So that's why Countrywide was very unique, and that's why Bank of America bought them at the time, because they serviced lots of loans.
Okay, hold on. Let's get back before we finish here. What's the World Bank? Who does that? Somebody had enough money to loan money to everyone in the world who needed it?
I can't believe that with all of your exposure to Rogan, you haven't...
I tune out almost everything he says conspiracy there. He's so overboard that I have to tune out all of it. So even the good things I can't appreciate.
I mean,
those 9/11 truthers start on me. That's just one example. And they're like, hey, you interested in that? I'm like, not at all.
Right.
But they keep on anyway. I'm like, I am actively tuning you out.
Right.
I don't say it, but I'm like, I'm looking at your eyebrows, wondering how those are done, thinking about my groceries I have to get paid. I'm just tuning out.
Yeah.
Because you've lost me.
I like to read into everything because I still think a lot of stuff stems from truth. I'm not a truther. I'm more of a birther than I am a truther.
But. Really?
Well, not a birther.
He was born in America.
Here's the thing. I just think things are simple. It's just like, how come we're still arguing about that? You know?
Yeah, why are we still arguing about it?
Because he's never actually produced a birth certificate.
Yes, he has.
No, they produced a document that was... And here's the thing. I don't even care. I'm not even mad at it. I still think he sucks anyways. It has got nothing to do with that. But listen, I'm not defending the birthers at all.
Wait,
I was making a greater
birth
point.
Certificate?
I thought they showed
the birth certificate.
It was like some like half... That's like, do you have your receipt? That's like, no, but I have my credit card. You know? Yeah, there's some proof that something was written down, but it's not...
Oh, right. I wonder if I have my birth certificate. Do you have yours?
I mean, like, not on me.
Yeah, how would I get mine?
It's in, like, the town hall. You go to, like, the city that you were born in. Or
so why
registered.
Couldn't they just go to find out where he was born and go get it?
I don't know. Because he was supposedly born in Hawaii and records were different. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not defending it. I don't know.
Yeah, pre-internet,
sure he was born US.
Web servers, like, you can't just store everything forever. It's like, town hall moved and we lost, like, 50 boxes.
Yeah, but now you can just go in and hit delete. It's a difference.
Oh, yeah. Same thing. And now it's
what
gone
they
forever.
Need, that's why you just need everything like out in the open. You just need all the records like posted.
It's
gone
for everything. It's like just be visible.
Yeah.
Just show for everything. For the Fed, for all this stuff. Just let us see. So we're like, wait a minute. Look at your numbers. Oh, no. Okay. That's all right. You know, like after we used to go on the road with Pauly, we would just steal his merch money. Just take it. He was such a fucking cunt to us all the time on the road. He was clearly the way of Rogan or Ralphie May or whoever I've opened for, even random guys I've got hooked up with, Jake Johansson. They were all nice people who operated under the assumption that, hey, we're both comics, we're both friends. And we might not be good friends. I might just see you here for this week and I'll never see you again.
We're working together.
But like,
it's fun,
yeah. I'm in the headliner spot, you're in the feature spot, but whatever.
Right.
We might have a fight, we might not, but we're sort of equals on the same level of, we're colleagues.
Yeah.
Pauly made no assumptions of that at all. He didn't give us that at all.
What do you think of you?
He was our boss. And he made us sell his T-shirts, made us.
You know, he asked
Gerard. What?
He was, I think Gerard opened for him somewhere. And then he asked Gerard, he's like, so? He's like, you going to sell T-shirts? Gerard's like, nah.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah. He's like, really, bro? You're not going to help out? And he's just like, nah. And he's just like, nah. He's like, I ain't fucking
selling. He didn't take it again, did he?
Yeah. He didn't, probably not.
Nick Youssef he wanted to go get laid. And Pauly gets mad when you get laid and he doesn't. So he's like, bro, what are you going to do? Go just. Go out. And he goes, yeah, bro, then I can't take anymore if you're not going to hang out. He goes, oh, whatever, dude. I'm going to this girl's hotel. Shut up. And he just left, and he never worked again, too. But it was like, it depends how much you need the money and the work. But yeah, one time I was opening for him, and he wasn't paying me. But to his credit, I asked him late. I just broken up with a girl. I was like, "Hey, man, you're going to Arizona? Can I just come? I just need to get laid." Yeah. And I know I can get laid in Tempe.
Yeah.
So, can I go with you? And he goes, "Well, we got to ask those other guys if they don't mind, you know." I was like, "Hey, no, I already asked them. They're cool. They're cutting their time down." He goes, "Well, they can give you 5 minutes up top." And I was like, "Bro, just don't be an asshole. Just you don't have to pay me. Just." Anyway, so we stayed three to a room in this the Buttes Hotel. We got a cot, stayed three people to a room. It was actually one of the funnest weekends I've ever had. Ingram was his like road manager. He called it. He was like this black guy named Darnell who would represent Pauly. He was like, "Oh yeah, I'm Pearly Sure's road manager."
Yeah.
And he would just rain 20s on me like I was really sleeping. I was like, "What's this for?" He goes, "Pearly paid you." I'm like, "Pearly, what are you talking about?" We just take wads of cash. Wow.
That's great, I guess. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, so you're ripping somebody else off. I mean,
yeah, we didn't. At some point, it was like, I remember once it was like Renazisa got paid less than he should have. It's like the club paid 100, but Paul only paid 75.
I hate when people jip people.
He kept
out of
the other 25. Yeah. And like, what are you doing? It's like, no, we don't care about stealing people like that.
Dude, like, yeah, like, that's another thing, too. I mean, like,
get paid a normal amount.
Even if I don't have a lot of money, it's like, you know, you still try and tip, you know? It's,
oh, yeah.
You still try and.
You know how many times I had to cover? Talk at the green room. Waitress, like, "Did he tip you?" Like, "No." It's like, "Ugh, here's the deal. I'm super poor. I can give you $10. I know that's not as much as he ate, whatever, but here's $10. I feel bad."
If somebody, what, skipped out on a tab? Or?
No.
What are you talking about?
They would work the green room. They'd have a waitress who works the green room. And at the end of the week.
The green room. Oh.
At the end of the week, you should give them a bunch of money for helping you all week, especially if you order food and, like, get stuff.
You do that at the end of the week.
Yeah, if it's somebody the same person.
Oh, at a club. I'm thinking like club. Here. Oh, yeah. No, I hear you.
And then when
you
didn't pay them at all, it's like, ugh. And it's probably not even trying to tip them. He just doesn't think about others. So he'll be like,
yeah.
He'll be like, "Oh, you don't need money."
Yeah. So.
Anyway, nobody tell Pauly I said this, by the way. Don't be idiots.
Yeah.
It's not going to help anyone.
I don't think he's listening.
What were you saying at the end of that? Why did we bring up?
Yeah, man, just like the collapse. Just people really just took it upon themselves to be greedy, you know, and buy
the
more
Bank,
than they.
The World Bank. What's the World Bank?
Oh, World Bank. It's really just that. I mean, like, there's.
It's not just that.
No, I guess it isn't. It's not in the title, is it? There's a group of people who are responsible for printing the money.
All over the world.
That are in charge. They run the rates and they... Yeah, and they decide what rates people charge.
How do they get this job?
It's like a... It really started in, like I said, in like 1913 when the richest people...
In America.
In the world.
Oh.
Like the Rothschilds. Like if you look...
Where were the Rothschilds? What country were they in?
I think they're from England. There's a line... There's a line from Rothschild where he's like, "I care not who controls the armies. Give me control of a country's currency, and I control that country."
Wow.
And he said, "Therefore, I am the most powerful man in
the world."
In England at the time, yeah.
So then they decide for every country. And so they own the Fed, they own the this, they own the that.
So the
and they
Euro, pay Bernanke's got salary. The Euro got implemented. That I mean, what if you just look at that idea on paper? It's just a dumb idea. Think about this, okay?
It's only dumb if you consider that somebody could then make a shitload of cash off that and just decide for themselves what your country's going
to
do.
Yeah, and exactly, and how much money you're going
to
print, and
somebody.
You control the money. If you control the money circulation, I mean, just like you said, I mean, you control everything. You control how much is printed. You can turn out what. Here's the thing: we're borrowing money from the Federal Reserve, and every time we borrow it, we owe them. So every time they print a dollar, they print it, and then we borrow the dollar, but we don't owe them a dollar back. We owe them a dollar .015, right.
And how do we pay them back?
That's the point. It's like a Ponzi scheme. It'll never get paid back. That's why the whole Ron Paul thing, you know, took off, because people started doing numbers.
Sounds really scary.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, we're not going to pay them back. Wait, so how do they make their money then if we don't pay them back?
What do you mean?
How aren't they out of business, this World Bank, the Fed? How are they making any cash?
Because they just
print it. But we're not paying them back.
We do.
You just said we're not paying them back.
We can't pay them back the whole amount, but it's just like that 30-year loan. Give me a little at a time.
Oh, right.
So you print the shit. If I just created $100,000 worth of money that meant nothing and I gave it to you and you actually used it and I was like, all right, And you yourself and the people I gave it to gave it value. And then I was like, all right, now you owe it to me back. It's like, wait a minute. I owe you what you just made out of nothing. Why shouldn't I just make it?
Right. And so then I was just like, fine, we'll print a little more for ourselves.
And that's why...
So every time they print extra cash, it just devalues the level of your money.
Exactly.
So
like
if that's so the when dumbest, they do the bailouts.
That's like the most basic dumb
and
down.
And that's what inflation does. Inflation isn't decided by them, those people. Dude, inflation is decided by
put
natural.
It this way, it's been slow. It always like teetered up and down, you know, a little bit. But then, you know, in 1913,
so
it,
what,
it's
sort of
then it's been up. It's 94%.
But it's sort of inflation just sort of naturally happens.
No,
based on how much extra they're
inflation,
printing.
Inflation's like natural in spikes where. You are definitely going to see more added value to certain things, which will occasionally inflate prices of things that will give value to things that maybe don't necessarily mean, like baseball cards, you know?
Yeah.
It's not really worth anything, but to us it is. But that's not going to...
I just found all my old baseball cards, and I realize how little they're worth now and how
dude,
much I spent on them over the years. And I've been saving them. Like, I'll get to them. I'll resell them all.
I know.
I'll make thousands. Now maybe I can make $100 on all of it.
That's another bubble. See, like I said, that's the bubble that burst. Because you know what happened?
They all started printing Donruss, and Fleer started coming in, printing up cards, and everyone's like, oh, Topps isn't worth that much
anymore. To bring
it
back around to... you had done a podcast with a comic book geek, right?
Uh-huh, Mike Lawrence.
And really just as he probably mentioned, which is the truth, the fact is that... In like 92, 3, 4, 5, like when it really started to boom again.
The baseball cards?
No, like comic books and baseball cards, sure. They started printing special edition this, You make more, less demand, worth less.
Why worth less special edition? I mean, make more special editions.
There's just more. Yeah, it just became...
Like the first time you had special editions, like, ooh, I'll pay $100 for that.
But
and
if it's
like
special.
A billion special editions.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
You know,
and that's how inflation happens, because at some point people just like, this isn't worth as much.
You know,
it's just sort of a natural feel. How does it work?
No, because what happens is that so everything goes up.
Like if
slowly.
For a dollar I can get 4 cans of Coke
okay,
in the
ready?
Old days.
I'll tell you what helps.
Now a dollar only gives me 3 cans of Cokes because of inflation.
I'll tell you what helps. Exactly, can't Coke. Now, minimum wage.
Yeah.
When they raise the minimum wage, it's one of the worst things that you can do for an economy. Now that sounds really dumb, doesn't it?
Yeah, why?
If you raise the minimum wage, you have to raise the minimum wage because of this inflation, all right? But what the minimum wage acts in, as far as the cycle of inflation goes, is it actually aids the inflation. Because if I own a store and I pay a guy $5.50 an hour, you know what it was when I started, whatever it was, $5.50, well... Okay, now I gotta pay him $6.50.
Yeah, so you're losing an extra dollar an hour on all your employees.
Where the fuck do you think I'm gonna get that $6.50 of a business
by
that's
raising the price of a Coke?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, right.
You're just jerking off.
You're making everyone get paid more.
Yeah.
So and then since they raise the price of a Coke a dollar, then if you're making $100,000 a year, you're like, hey, I need $110 now.
That's
because
it.
And then that company has to raise. Well, let's say you work for a law firm. Like, well, we got to raise law prices now.
Everyone raises up.
Huh.
They implement the problem at the bottom. So
what
it
do
all
they want
gets
to go back
up.
To gold for dollar? It's too late for that, right?
It's too late for that, like, immediately, but you have to... It just becomes fate. Like, it's just so... It's so basic math. It's eventually... It has to collapse. Like... The tulip thing, I remember years ago, I was in like middle school, I read this story, it blew my mind, even then, about like the tulip bulb bubble, and there were tulip bulbs were actually used as currency, you know,
really?
In Holland or whatever, and then something happened to that economy, and like people went starving because they were using them as currency.
And they were like, hey,
somebody
it's just
told
a tulip
me,
bulb.
I told that story, somebody told me that they used it at the beginning of a movie as an example, but yeah, like, you know, that shit just happens. So... It's, you know, I mean, you know, Rome, that's what happened with Rome. They started printing their own money. I mean,
that's
that happened. Yeah. I mean, that's one of that, and they became militarized. So look at us. We're all sprawled out.
Because they became militarized, but that's how they got so much money. Jesus.
Yeah.
That's how they got so much power, is by taking over countries.
Who?
Rome.
You know, they... You create a presence.
Everyone had to pay taxes.
You create a presence in an area.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and like, yeah, wow, that chick's just wearing a bathing suit. You see that?
No, where is she?
Just got out in her fucking...
Black girl?
No, in that Prius.
Oh, she's in it? She just got out.
Yeah, in like underwear or something.
Where'd she go?
She's got back in the Prius.
In the passenger seat? Oh, the driver's seat. I see her now.
So maybe she likes to drive without her pants on. You know? Sunny California.
Maybe she's just changing. Yeah, go ahead.
So,
I gotta go soon. I think we're done anyway.
Yeah, I mean, what else is there, right?
All right, well, thanks.
But, yeah, man, it's just, it happens. Inflation, the banks, fuck them. It's a scam. It's a gaffe.
This guy was like, I have to do somebody else's podcast. And he goes, yeah, it starts at 6. If you could be there at 5:30, it'd be great. And my head was like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Fucking not going to be late. No,
what are you guys serving dinner? Yeah. 6 o'clock.
We're doing a shoot. you have anything coming up you want to promote?
Nah, I got nothing.
You don't do the road at all?
Nah,
you have
I'm
a
local.
Twitter account?
I mean, it's at Themelis, T-H-E-M-E-L-E-S, but...
And when you say, I mean, it's at Themelis, that's just served to downplay your own value?
No, I was going to follow it up with, you know, if you want to see what, you know, random bullshit I post at 3 in the morning when I occasionally tweet.
Where can people ask you questions about this horrible situation with the economy? You can
at
answer them on
Themelis on Twitter.
At
that's the easiest one.
T-H-E-M-E-L-E-S. No, T-H-E-M-E-L-E-S.
T-H-E-M-E-L-E-S, yeah. And where can they get you, Ari?
Oh, on Twitter is at Ari Shaffir, but my website is arithegreat.com or arishaffir.com, I guess. Once you can figure out how to spell Ari Shaffir, but now they should know. So I'll just tell them that, arishaffir.com.
You know, and you know what? Don't follow me on Twitter. Pay your fucking bills. Don't borrow more than you can.
Twitter's free, man. I don't think that's the problem.
I don't know.
Oh, but don't borrow more than you can. Yeah, that's a key.
Don't follow me on Twitter. I'm saying you don't have to. Just listen to that.
Oh, okay.
Like you said, pay your shit. Don't borrow more than you don't have.
Oh, separate topic. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Andrew.
That's all I got. See ya.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. in my hour of darkness. She is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. 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 Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer. Let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer. Let it be. Sound of music, Mother Mary.